don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know you want it. You know you need it.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Speaking of being in movies, you, and I don't know if you've ever said this aloud, but you don't do any endorsements, you don't do any cameo bits, you wouldn't appear as yourself in a movie, a television, why not?
We're critics. We shouldn't do that. When you see us on television, you should know that we are saying exactly what we think. We won't even do those little things where you say, hi, I'm Roger Ebert, and you're listening to K-Rock. We don't do that.
This is Roger Ebert, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
How do you gotta be so insensitive all the time?
Hey, everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
And now...
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there.
Lisa?
Our feature presentation.
Lisa's back today.
Nice.
Yay.
Lisa.
Aww,
I'm the only one applauding, but we're all happy to see
you. And he's not using his hands either.
Oh, exactly. Woo.
How you feel, Lisa? Better?
I feel better.
Oh, you're not still placating her with that, oh, she's sick, oh, she's not feeling well, oh, she needs to take it out because she's sick, right? We all know what was going on with Lisa May last
week. I was out with a Dutch couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Mexico.
What it sounded like.
She told me that. I'm just trying to cover.
I appreciate it, but.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of weekend you want to brag about.
Sure.
Seriously.
That's true.
Exactly.
You do have to let people know about that one.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Lisa heard about Desire Cancun and all of a sudden decided she was due for a 3-day weekend. That's exactly what was going on.
As our other friend said, oh, my God.
Yeah, that she was out of her mind.
She really
oh,
was.
Oh, man. Ooh, wow. Oh, I'd like to know the thought she had just before every one of those noises.
The picture in her mind?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because there was some stuff going on at that place.
Sounds like she had the best weekend ever.
Yes,
I know.
Did.
It was amazing.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of the weekend, it's over. This is Monday morning, and it's the 16th of April, Ingus. What happened to your hair?
Psycho Mike.
Is that, is that a final option? I mean, have you decided on that?
Yeah.
He cut off all his hair. He's a Marine now.
Oh, no. It's more of a early Clooney kind of a rugged, I'm going gray, but I'm trying to prevent it and still look hip. Henry Rollins-esque,
yeah.
I would
okay.
say.
Yeah. All right.
You know, you say early Clooney, but it's really current-day Screech when you really look at it. I mean, you think whatever you want, but I mean, that's the first thing I thought.
Speaking of Screech, I saw some commercials last night on VH1. They're doing another Celebrity Fit Club, I think, and is he in it?
Yeah. Oh,
not only
really?
Is he in it, yeah. I think he actually gets kicked off the show. What if something happens with him that has never happened with any other competitor, and at one point they actually have to separate him from the other competitors because all the other competitors collectively as a whole say, we're not going to do this anymore if he's around. He's that much of a
jackass. I am not surprised.
That's so funny. One of the judges, or I don't know, I haven't watched that show, but one of the people who run the show said, will you please shut up? Just frustrated out of their mind with him. He's like, I use logic and blah, 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 blah. And he wasn't making any sense whatsoever. And they hate him.
And probably wasn't losing any weight either.
Doesn't even look like he needs it all that much.
Yeah, I don't know why he'd be on there.
He's just a douche.
He is certainly annoying, that's for sure. Always has been.
We're going to have to check out that show because as annoying as he is, I mean, if the rest of the show, they're on a TV show, they're not going to continue if he's there. Yes, Lightning.
Gentlemen, to change the subject...
Sure. You're not happy with the one we were on?
No. It's time to move on.
All right.
You're gonna hear this from the K-Rock listeners for What It Do. Nephew, the Kevin and Bean curse is back.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
what happened?
Paul Tracy.
That's not the Kevin and Bean curse.
What
as
happened
much
to Paul
as it
Tracy?
Is the lightning
why
curse.
Did you feel necessary to break in with that as if that's not something we don't have 5 hours to get to?
I just think
seriously,
it's
explain
it's
that to me.
Now.
Why 2 minutes into the show have you decided that we're not arranging things in the order that you would like? Let's do your own
this
show.
This is freaking important.
Then we'll get to it at some point.
Paul Tracy, race car driver, really. So we talked to him on Friday.
Okay.
And then he was going to race on Sunday, and he got in an accident, I guess, or hurt his back or something on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah.
And couldn't race, and Lightning was afraid in the 3 minutes that we were on the air, we hadn't talked about it yet.
This is the time when we talk about, you know, just
no,
stuff
no, no.
that happened over
no, no,
the weekend.
No. This is the time when we talk about stuff that happened over the weekend.
Right. Okay, listen, I wanted to bring it up. I'd said it. Now I'll leave and I won't say anything for the rest of the show.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
That's good advice. All right, goodbye.
Bye. He had won the race, I think, four previous times or something, Lisa Bay. So this guy was, you know, he's no hack. I mean, he's a real professional race car driver. And we talked to him Friday and, yeah, he got.
Well, was he racing hurt on Saturday when he got injured?
He was practicing.
Yeah. He was practicing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that happens. It's not like he slipped in the bathtub.
Exactly. That would be a curse.
Yes.
Right?
I don't think that's a curse.
Something silly happened. But exactly. If he's out there doing something athletic, can happen, you know?
Anytime.
What about lightning, by the way?
What about lightning? What is up with that?
Unbelievable.
I'm sure you guys are going to hear about it and what it do. That's 4.5 hours from now. But...
Hey, I want to give a shout out, and this is a special note, to guys who are out there wondering why they can't get a woman. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people out there, single guys, can't get a chick, trying to figure out what it is they're doing wrong. They're just, you know, scraping to get by, doing the best they can't attract a lady. I read a story over the weekend up in Santa Cruz about a homeless couple that just got married. A guy is homeless, living in a cardboard box under an overpass, managed to find a woman and marry her. I just want to I want to throw that out there for you guys who can't figure out what you're doing wrong. Maybe you take some notes from this guy.
Is she homeless as well, or does she have
a
place to
stay? Both homeless. Right. No, they're both homeless.
She's got a mansion. She's fell in love with the dude.
You may have known this, but you know who else got married? Phil Spector to a 26-year-old model while awaiting murder trial.
He did?
No.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, sometimes.
He's the man.
I know. The guy's got no chin. He looks like a freak, and he's...
He's the weird looking
murder.
Like scientist hair dude with his hair standing straight up. He killed that girl, shot her in the face, right?
On a first date.
So he wasn't, was he dating this woman before the murder?
All I heard this morning was they were talking about it's been 4 years. That's how long it's taken to get this thing to trial. And they said, in the meantime, he married a 26-year-old model.
That's fantastic.
How does she clarify that to her friends and family?
Oh, she's got to be.
Hey, you know that guy's on the he's on trial for murder. That guy, murdered a girl on the first date.
I'm sure he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, if he's in jail and will be forever, then she'll probably have access to all his money, being his wife.
That's true.
Ooh. He's probably got quite a bit of money, you know.
Interesting.
He does have a lot of money.
She pulled an Anna Nicole Smith.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, good. You know, that guy looks like he deserves to have his money go away. So that's all right with me. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Monday morning, and that means it's the day after the debut of maybe the best TV show ever, The Flavor of Love, Girls, Charm School.
Oh, Charm School.
Did it live up to your expectations? I did not tune in for a second.
It is an hour and a half, by the way, last night, of chocolatey and vanilla goodness. It's amazingly, good, bad, good, bad.
Are there any nappy-headed hoes on the show?
All.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I must just pick the wrong target, man. If you'd been talking about these girls, no one would have complained.
Is Buck Wild there?
When I talk to people, my voice changes. I will definitely talk a little bit different when I talk to you than when I talk to, like, if there's somebody who speaks Spanish, I'll definitely talk a little more Spanish. When I get around English people, I start to talk English, like, when I work at my job, people are from Afghanistan. I start to talk like them.
Absolutely.
I'd like to hear that, too.
Buck Wild is
fantastic. Love it.
Yep. And some of the girls... these are the Flavor of Love girls from the Flavor of Love show on VH1. And some of them were on the show for 30 seconds before they got kicked off.
Oh, really?
They didn't even have a nickname, nothing. Remember the episode? I'll tell you in about half hour. But the episode where the very first moment of the very first day when they picked beds, they got in a fight.
Uh-huh.
And they threw each other around the room and one of them got kicked out. She's on the show.
Well, she needs charm school.
So that's good.
Can't play well with others.
That's coming up just after 6 o'clock. We got to tell you about a very sad story. Lisa May's dog wants out.
Oh, I don't think that's
in a bad way. Lisa, about every day when she comes home, she finds a dog hanging from the rafters, trying to jump off the balcony.
If you're saying that they haven't had good luck.
Repeatedly running into the wall headfirst.
I will agree with that.
They're trying desperately to take their own lives.
But I think they're just accidents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you come home and the dog's got a razor blade at its wrist, that's an accident?
I left it out somewhere it shouldn't have been. Okay. They love living with me.
Yeah, of course
they
do.
How could they not?
How could they not?
It is a joyous household for my dogs.
And that's why they're
trying to... I treat them with love.
Commit doggy suicide.
Brush their teeth, and I take care of them.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to find out about that.
Okay.
Also this morning, weird neighbors. Weird or strange or crime committing... Based on the movie this weekend, Disturbia.
Oh.
Number one movie.
Yeah.
I love the idea of your neighbors are crazy, your neighbors are thieves, your neighbors somehow are felons, you know. There's got to be, there's always, everybody has secrets.
Sure.
Your neighbor is Phil Spector.
And you never want them to be next to you. But they're, all of those people are next to somebody. So that's good times. Mike, Psycho Mike had one, Bean had one.
Yeah.
Good
times. Yeah, I did.
I have one that the postman tells me he thinks that they're like terrorists.
Really?
The people that live next door. It's weird because it's a house, but they have all these computers in there, and I can kind of see it from my bedroom window, and I don't know if people live there or they just come and go. It's very strange.
Just a staging area for the attack.
Yeah. Time for a little undercover reporting.
Maybe.
Ask Omar.
We got to
have Omar go.
Omar will know.
Good. Yeah.
Takes one to know one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The mailman should have alerted Homeland Security, though, being a government employee. I mean, if he really has suspicions like that, you should ask him if he's told anybody, Lisa.
I will. I'll ask him that.
I mean, that's part of what they ask the mail carriers to do is due vigilance.
Wait. We've got to send Lisa over there.
Mailman.
We need to have like a van out in front, a nondescript van with all kinds of equipment in it.
We're all black.
Yeah, we could talk in your ear.
Well, walkie-talkie.
Okay, you're on the left side. There's three guys with guns on the other side of the fence.
All Kevin knows is he wants to rappel up or down a building, whichever way you go. You know, when you think about it, though, I mean, think of the worst serial killers you can imagine. You know, think of the John Wayne Gacy's and, you know, the Charles Manson's and, you know, the Ted Bundy's. Every one of them had a next-door neighbor.
Sure.
I mean, or had somebody lived across the street from every single one of them. Jeffrey Dahmer had a guy who lived in the apartment next to him. You know, I mean, they're out there. It happens.
And they always say, who's quiet?
Yeah.
Kind of kept to himself.
Never saw that coming.
Didn't expect that.
Seemed nice.
So we'll do that a little bit later on this morning. We got to talk about Federlisi.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about the best story ever on Friday while you were sick.
I didn't.
Ralph came in and gave us the joyous news that Kevin Federline having sex with Lindsay Lohan.
No.
That's the story. She called him over. They were going to look into a project together. He brought his manager. She said, why don't we talk alone? Your manager can go.
No.
He spent the night.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
what does that
do?
Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Don't give this man legitimacy.
Are you kidding? This is the best story ever. Plus, today we are going to give away the grand prize for the weekend. That is Spider-Man 3. We're having a grand prize of a trip for two to Paris to see the screening of Spider-Man. I'm sorry, was that your...
What?
Your Parisian?
Yes, that was my attempt at the Parisian. Yeah.
Wow.
Or I was coughing. I don't know.
You might want to go with coughing. Paris, before the release here in the United States, to see Spider-Man 3.
Is that better?
Yeah. No. Plus, we'll give you details on how you can start winning 3-day passes for Coachella. As you know, that's sold out. So.
Cool.
Yeah, that's hot.
We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbizbeat.
So what you're telling me is trip to Paris, 7:15, from a K-Rock listener who qualified this weekend by winning the Spider-Man tickets for K-Rock screening. And then we tell you how you can win tickets to all 3 nights of Coachella. That's what you're telling me is coming up here today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, although I didn't say it that well. That is what I was saying.
Okay.
That's okay. Correct. All right. So that's on the way at 7:15 this morning on K-Rock. It is Monday. Ralph is here with our first Showbizbeat of the week. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Can I hear your Frenchman again, please, before we...
That's a little better, actually.
Dead on.
I don't really do
No,
voices.
You do. You do
Indian guy, and now you do French guy.
Put that in your little
repertoire.
Box of tricks. Yeah.
I am this close to having a one-man stand-up act, aren't I, with all these voices I do.
Yeah, two more guys, and you'll have a one-man act.
Vegas, man.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Disturbia, number one by a long shot, made $23 million this weekend. Pretty good news for Shia LaBeouf and company. Did anybody see it? Everybody go?
I didn't get a chance. I wanted to. But
Psycho Mike, look at you going and seeing a movie outside of your house.
I know.
Did you enjoy it, Psycho Mike?
I did, immensely.
Good.
It's exactly like you said. It's not trying to be something it's not. It's very intense, the suspense, and it's a lot of fun. Shia LaBeouf is
good performances, huh?
Shia LaBeouf is going to be a huge star.
He really is. He's going to blow up.
Oh, yeah. Mike, how is this the first movie in 2 years that you've decided to... I mean, what was it about this one that got you out of your house?
Kevin, I believe you have an answer. Your
I
hand
can
is
answer
raised.
That, please.
Your hand is raised, yes.
He got a haircut and he wanted to show it off to every human being on the planet.
Yeah.
So he went out and did the mall tour.
What's going on with that hair, by the way? Did you re-enlist? Are they sending you back to Iraq?
I want to be a Spartan.
Oh, I see.
The truth is,
a big calling for that.
My wife said to me, Mike, I really want to go to a movies and I want to go see this movie. Let's go. And I said, okay.
Wow. Yeah. It's that easy, okay. Huh?
There's something he's not telling us.
Yeah, something's up. The reason we bring it up, folks, is because, you know, there have been movies that we've raved about for months. Borat is one example. We can't get Mike to go. All of a sudden, this one's out for 2 hours, and he's there. It's just weird. But glad for Shia. That's awesome.
Opening weekend, he was there. It's unheard of. Blades of Glory, still hanging in there in the top 10, although it dropped off a little bit this weekend. It's number 2 at the box office with $14 million. Meet the Robinsons was number 3. Then Perfect Stranger, that bogus Bruce Willis movie, came in at number 4. Only made $11.5 million. He and Halle Berry not bringing in the people.
Not.
So some reviewers said it's definitely going to be on the list of the top 10 worst movies of the year. It may take 2 spots.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one reviewer said.
That was on Fatty and Gay Guy show.
Yeah. Oh, is that who it was? I can't remember where I saw that.
Only Fatty's not there because he's busy having more cancer someplace, I think.
Oh. Kevin, how was it? I know you were excited about this one.
I didn't see that one either.
Didn't make this one either?
My parents were in town over the weekend, so I didn't have a lot of time to go.
Took him to Grindhouse? Saw that again?
Yes.
Yeah.
They demanded.
Are We Done Yet? Came in at number 5. Pathfinder, the Viking epic. Oh! Only made $4.8 million. Was only number 6 at the box office. Wild Hogs, by the way, still in the top 10. Oh, number 7.
Dear God.
The Reaping at 8. Speaking of Spartans and Mike's new haircut, 300 was number 9 at the box office this weekend. And Grindhouse, a paltry $4.2 million in its second weekend, made it number 10, quickly falling out of the top 10.
Ouch. That's sad.
It's not very popular.
But Wild Hogs is still in there.
Still wildly popular.
That's good news.
They, now Miramax is saying they're going to release it as 2 films. Grindhouse, they're going to bust it up and re-release it as 2 films.
In America.
Because people just don't get it. They don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand that it's 2 movies. They don't appreciate that fact. Yeah, that's what it is.
I think they get it.
We've got 1 failure. Let's see. How can we get 2 failures? We'll release them separately.
I would see Grindhouse 10 times in a row before I'd go see Wild Hogs, though. Wouldn't you?
I'd see Planet Terror.
I'd see both before I'd see Wild Hogs.
Sad news. Don Ho. Legendary Hawaiian music star Don Ho, of course, best known for his signature tune, Tiny Bubbles.
Tiny Bubbles.
How do you have that at your fingertips?
Let's see if we can guess as Ralph continues the story.
Died over the weekend. He was in the news, Kevin, because he passed away at the age of 76 from a heart attack on Saturday. Don had major heart problems over the past few years, had a pacemaker installed last fall, but apparently his ticker just couldn't keep up, and he's gone.
We had him at a K-Rock Weenie Roast, believe it or not, back in the mid-90s. And I can't remember. It must have been, one of our luau themes or something like that. It made sense. We had the great Don Ho come out. And I'm telling you, Kevin, you'll remember this well. He was the biggest star there. Yeah. Every other act on the bill was lined up outside Mr. Ho's trailer. And, of course, you probably can't say Ho anymore. But they were lined up to meet him. I mean, all the guys like Dave Grohl are like, oh, my God, Don Ho's here. I gotta get an autograph. It was just crazy.
Well, if you last long enough, I think you just become an icon.
I guess.
Yeah. In fact, the sad news is Don was working on a new CD when he passed. It was going to be all hip-hop called Nappy Headed Ho. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just missed out.
John Cryer, our pal from 2.5 Men. By the way, remember we used to bust his balls for always having failed series after failed series?
He was a show killer.
He was a show killer, yeah.
And now he's just been on this monster hit, 2.5 Men, for 27 years it's been on the air now. Just can't be a bigger star. Apparently plans to marry his fiance in June in Mexico. I had no idea that he was dating Lisa Joyner. You know the entertainment reporter, Lisa Joyner?
Yeah, I'd heard that.
A little
that
sporty
story.
Little blonde.
Smoking hot little,
check him out.
How about that? So apparently they're going to get married in June in Mexico. It's his birthday.
He dumped his first wife once he hit it big, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do, right.
Divorced his first wife in 2004. So smart move there, Johnny.
How about that?
This is some sad news for me personally. Universal Theme Parks has announced they're planning to replace their Back to the Future rides with one based on The Simpsons. Remember Back to the Future ride over there, Universal? I loved that ride.
Kind of, but it's been around forever.
No, but that was my must-do thing when I visit Universal Theme Park. I had to go on Back to the Future.
What was the last time you went?
About 6 months ago, I guess. Mm. Yeah, I still have people coming in from out of town, from Philly and stuff, who come to visit, and that's one of the tourist stops that we tend to
hit. You drag them to that?
No, they say, I want to go see Universal. And I say, okay, we'll go.
No, I'm not saying Universal. I'm saying you drag them to the Back to the Future?
Yeah, and I said, we got to do Back to the Future.
And they go, what's that?
No, they don't.
It was a movie. It was in the 80s. It was fun.
Back to the Future. No one appreciates it.
Did.
How come How come Doc Brown couldn't go in the future and tell that no one would be interested in his movies anymore?
Marty, no one cares about us anymore. We have to get in the DeLorean and go in the future and have people go to see our ride.
But no. Sadly, no. Eddie Murphy is
guilty, 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 guilty.
We'll have to wait and see, but apparently Eddie Murphy is the father of Spice Girl Mel B's daughter, she claims. He's denying it. She put him on the birth certificate.
How you doing?
Wow.
She had the baby last week. Fortuna Daphne.
What?
Fortuna. Fortuna. Yeah.
Wow.
So apparently now we're going to have to go through a whole nother DNA courtroom baby daddy situation until Eddie finally coughs up some cash. So we'll have to wait and see.
I like it.
Now, Ralph, they can essentially force you to offer up a DNA for a paternity test, right?
Yep.
That's not something you can just decline.
That's
okay.
A court order, and you just got to open up and let them swab you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? That's how she got that trouble in the first place.
What? And you remember how much I loved Alanis Morissette's version of Fergie's My Humps?
Oh, yeah.
It's
funny.
It's all over YouTube. It's a smash hit over there on YouTube, but it's got millions and millions of downloads and viewings. Apparently, Fergie has a sense of humor about it as well. People magazine is reporting that Fergie sent Alanis Morissette a giant butt-shaped cake inscribed with "Alanis, you're a genius. Love Fergie."
How about that?
Appreciating her her parody of My Humps. So it's nice to see the girl's got a sense of humor. And then she peed herself. And are you following this Michael Jordan divorce?
No, what's going on?
Yeah. Wow.
Uh-oh.
People saying that the Michael Jordan divorce from his wife Juanita would be the most expensive divorce settlement in the history of mankind.
No.
There we go.
Yes.
Take a guess how much, Kevin.
$200
million? Likely, Kevin, to be $150 to $160 million is what she'll get out of the divorce.
Wow.
She did have a lot of 50-point games, though. You got to give her credit for that.
She did. That's true.
He split last December, with his wife of 17 years. The most costly celebrity divorce ever.
Wow.
According to Forbes magazine. Here's just to put in perspective, here's a list of the top 10 expensive entertainment divorces of all time. Okay? Number 10, Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall. How long ago was that? 20 years ago?
Seems like forever, yeah.
Yeah.
About $25 million.
Okay.
Boy, he got off cheap.
Yeah. Lionel and Diane Richie.
Uh-oh.
About the same at number 9. Michael and Deandra Douglas. This is back when Michael Douglas, before he married Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
$45 million he coughed up to her.
Wow.
That's only number 8 on the list.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So hold on to your nads, fellas. James Cameron and Linda Hamilton, star of the Terminator movies and the director of same such films.
Sure.
$50 million at number 7.
Oh, my God.
And part of that was because he left her for a much younger woman, I'm sure. That's where some of that money came from, right?
Yeah. Paul McCartney and Heather Mills, that's still pending, but it's likely to be in the $60 to $70 million range. That makes it number 6 on the hit parade.
Don't mention that whore to me.
Sorry. Kevin Costner and his wife Cindy, number 5 on the list. He coughed up $80 million to her. Boy, do I bet he wishes he had some of that money back.
No kidding.
That was back in the Dances with the Wolves heyday. Not so much anymore in the 3,000 Mile to Graceland era.
Maybe the worst movie ever.
Harrison Ford and Melissa Matheson, his screenwriter wife, he coughed up $85 million to Melissa.
Probably still doesn't even know either.
Yes, doesn't call it. Steven Spielberg and Amy Irving. Steven gave her $100 million in their settlement.
Hey, she deserves that. She was his wife.
And what was that? That's got to be 15 years ago, right? So that was when $100 million meant something. You know, today it's nothing. It's chump change. But back in the day, $100 million, that was something.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond was married to
his
woman?
Wife, Marcia. Yes, how can you say that?
Wow.
Diamond's a stud.
Yeah.
A diamond stud.
Sure.
$150 million.
Oh, my God.
That's what she got.
Well, she needs to eat.
Yes, she does. That's a lot of red wine right there.
Wow. What do you have to do to a woman to owe her $150 million?
Girl, you'll be a millionaire soon.
Dude.
And as I mentioned, Michael and Juanita Jordan, they're on pace to $160 million will be the outcome from that divorce.
I don't mean this in a bad way at all.
No, you never do.
No.
You never do. Especially when you start a sentence with that.
This is going to be a great
wouldn't
comment.
Wouldn't it be just cheaper to kill her? I mean, when you really start and think
that's
about it.
Right.
I mean,
that's
no,
right.
But I'm just saying,
fine,
he could pay to make that problem go away for a lot less money. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he should do that. I'm just saying it must have crossed his mind.
You're saying $5,000 to like some crack addict?
No, I'm saying you go high end. You hire
the A-team.
Yeah, you have them come
first
in.
You have to locate them.
If you can find them,
some money, right?
They can help you. Yeah, go high end.
$50 million. Come on, there's ways to just make problems disappear, guys. You know how it works. When you're talking about people with that kind of money, they got ways to make things happen.
Next thing you know, Juanita's having dinner with Little Stevie in an Italian restaurant.
No. Yeah, pop, exactly.
Pop. Let's get out of
That's
here.
That's right.
And he takes both of them.
Yeah. He's having a three-way while the other guy's bleeding in the linguine.
Meat packers. I'm a happily married man.
Okay.
Oh, he's so funny.
Great episode last night.
That's what I was talking about with the Soprano episode.
Remember last week I said they got to start moving the story? Boy, did they make up for it this week.
Yep.
Jumping Jiminy. Good TV on Sundays. I had too much TV. I got the Tudors now. I got Sopranos. I got Entourage, and now I'm hooked. Did you watch the Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather reality show?
Oh, no, I didn't realize that was on last night.
Oh, Kevin, you're missing the greatest thing in the world.
Shoot.
It's like Rocky III in real life. It's amazing.
What's the name of it?
It's called 24-7.
Fantastic.
De La Hoya, Mayweather, 24-7. It's on after Entourage on HBO on Sunday nights. It's a four-part miniseries leading up to the fight on May 5th. And they've got cameras there. It's a reality show. They follow them around while they're training for the fight. And there's so much political intrigue and so much family drama and infighting, and it is Rocky.
Awesome.
It's Rocky. Sugar Shane Mosley comes back to train with Oscar De La Hoya so he can beat Floyd Mayweather. It's like Apollo Creed coming back to help him beat Mr. T. It's awesome.
Are you sure this is real life?
This is real life.
Okay.
And isn't it amazing, though, too, that De La Hoya and Mayweather are just such charismatic people in totally separate ways. I mean, it really drives the show.
It's hero and villain. Yeah. De La Hoya seems like such a great guy, and Floyd Mayweather is such a prick.
Yeah.
And he's got 50 Cent in his house, and they're talking trash about De La Hoya, cursing up a storm, and, you know, Golden Boy's just being his good old self and living the family life down in San Juan. And it's good stuff. You got to catch it if you haven't seen it on Sunday nights. It's HBO, so I'm sure it'll only be on once, though.
Sure.
They never rerun anything. Happy celebrity birthday to Ellen Barkin. Uh-oh. Very talented actress who you will see soon in Ocean's 13.
Hammerhead.
Stop it.
Sorry.
She's
50, not anymore. She's not.
53 years old.
She had it fixed.
You guys want to have a conversation? Or
no,
you
have a little cough.
You want a lozenge?
You want a lozenge?
Or you want to talk?
A little cough.
Dave Perner from Soul Asylum's 43 years old today. Martin Lawrence, star of Wild Hogs.
Yeah.
Runaway smash hit Wild Hogs.
Sure enough.
He's 42 years old today, as is John Cryer of Two and a Half Men fame.
How about that?
Peter Billingsley, little Ralphie from The Christmas Story. He's 36 years old today. That little kid, little one, daddy, 36 years old. And this one, my head exploded when I saw this. Remember Witness with Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Where he goes into Amish country. He's a Philadelphia cop who has to hide in Amish country.
Right.
And he's got the little Amish kid who sees the murder. He's the witness that he's protecting in the title Witness. That little kid, Lucas Haas, is the actor. He's been around.
Yeah.
He does a lot of work.
Yeah.
He's 31 years old now.
No kidding.
Little Lucas Haas. Oh, John Book, you brought the gun up to hunt to us. That movie. That little kid, 31 years old today. Like my Amish?
That's very good, yes. Not as good as Bean, probably.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
First, the greatest television show ever from VH1. It is Flavor of Love Girls Charm School with Monique.
Ooh.
Now, these are the worst girls from both seasons of Flavor of Love.
And that's bad.
Yes.
Flavor of Love, for folks who don't recognize the name, was a dating show. It was a version of The Bachelor where Flava Flav, the rapper from Public Enemy, was the guy who got to pick a woman. And, of course, the type of women that Flava Flav attracts are about the type of women he deserves, right? So the biggest hits in the history of VH1, so they figure, well, they're not going to do another Flavor of Love. What can we do? How can we still get some of this chocolatey goodness on our channel? And this is what they've come up with.
So they have, here are the people that are on it. Goldie, known as the puker, because they show her throwing up. Sirius, the egomaniac, because she shows her boobs. And she says, if your boobs don't look like this, they don't matter. Hottie, who's nicknamed Crazy Girl. Rain, who's nicknamed The Screamer. She just has the top of her lungs right in people's face all the time. Smiley, the crier. Pumpkin, the spitter. She spit in the face of New York. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Toasty, the porn girl. Like That, who's the big fat chick that said, how come a big woman can't be sexy? Remember her? Buck Wild, the blackest white girl. That's her nickname. Bucky and Crazy share a nickname, the Balcony Brawlers. And then you got Boots, the hater. She's the girl that tries to get in a fight with everybody. And Sapphira, the fighter. If you'll recall, Sapphira was the person who got kicked out the very first scene of the second season, I think it was. They were fighting over beds at the very beginning of the show, and she got thrown out immediately.
So they didn't get the girl that pooped on the stairs?
I don't think so. But
Darn it.
Monique
who is the host of the show, does make mention of that first thing.
There's 7 bathrooms in this house. Don't nobody on my floor.
Okay, now you shouldn't have to say that, really, if it's charm school.
Yeah, unless you're Cesar Milan. Nobody else should ever have to give those instructions to the people they're dealing with.
So all the girls say that they're doing this because they want their families to be proud of them, and they're afraid that their moms and their families weren't proud of them. Oh, and it's a $50,000 first prize. There's 2 judges. One is Mickey Taylor. She's the beauty director and cover editor for Essence Magazine.
Okay.
Right.
And then there's the Simon Cowell of the show, Keith Lewis. I've never heard of him, but he's the director of Miss California USA and Miss California Teen USA. And he starts off the show by talking to the women in a nice, positive way.
I've watched each of your tapes, and I must say that there isn't anyone here that would get within 50 feet of my office, but good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the support and encouragement.
Thanks for that support. So first thing Monique does is she brings them up and she says, these nicknames are terrible. They're negative. They're awful. Let's get back to your real name. So she brings up, you know, Boots and it's Larissa. And she brings up Hottie and it's Shatar. And she brings up Buck Wild. She changes her name to Bucky. Then she brings up Safari. And she says, that's a horrible name.
Safari. That represented something ugly. What is your real name, baby?
Safari.
Your real name is Safari.
Okay.
That was her real name, but she's the girl that got in a fight at the very first second and got kicked out, so she didn't even stay around long enough to get a nickname.
Wow.
So they call her Safari.
I've never known such blackness.
So for the charm school, they have 10 commandments that they have to learn. The first one is, and I'm not kidding, check thyself before thy wreck thyself. That's the first one. And they start learning how to put, you know, first impression or whatever.
Okay.
And the second one, the second commandment is, what was it? Shoot, it was, go with girl. Something like that.
That's a commandment?
Yeah, that was a commandment. So they take them and they dump them off in the middle of the desert. And they say, 2 miles away is where camp is. Here's a whole pile of stuff. There's backpacks, there's clothes, there's food, there's everything. Take what you think you'll need and walk the 2 miles. And they all get really upset because they can't do that. Especially Safira, who is very, very upset about this. And they all get there, but she breaks down and starts having a little fit. She starts crying.
My heart's about to fall off. It hurts, and I can't take that pain medicine. I have no food, and no one's listening to me. And I can't scream, and I can't yell, and I can't do anything. That's me. It's like I'm being punished. I don't deserve this.
It's like I'm being punished. I don't deserve this. Now, all the girls did it. She's upset because she doesn't deserve this.
Has she ever seen a reality television show before?
She was on it.
This is what they do.
She was on it for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So then she got her composure together, and she started, you know, talking to the other girls.
But they can't open a broke, and I asked them for another one, and they're saying there's not another one, and there's no knife, and I asked people to look, and they won't even get up and go look.
Oh, that's right. She kept crying. She couldn't get over it.
Oh my God.
She could get that past her. And she cried and cried and cried. Poor me, this isn't fair. Poor me, this isn't fair. So they decide to take him, they bring in a drill instructor, and they decide to take him to an obstacle course. Now, you got to remember, like that is that big, fat chick.
Yeah.
Big, fat chick. Fat chick. And she's very upset. She says, what, they're trying to get rid of the big woman? And she, one of the teams picks her, and they have to literally, all 6 members have to hold on to her and throw her over one of the rope ladders.
God. Oh,
and her ass is like the size of a van, and she's got the world's largest thong bikini underneath. This is like,
you didn't even know that.
14 yards of thread. I mean, just crazy how big this thing is. So they flip her over and they get to the end, and she gets through it, I think, rather well. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. She throws up.
Oh.
Close up.
And by the way, these are girls who go on this show because they want to live in a mansion and be in a hot tub and drink champagne. This is like the opposite of what they think they signed up for,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. So the losing team has, you know, 6 players, and they're open to get kicked off the show. The winning team gets to stay for another while.
Okay.
So they have, you know, they kick people out of the show. And just before they have the kicking out ceremony, they give them all Catholic schoolgirl outfits. I don't know why. I guess it's their charm school, clothing. And Buck Wild, who's the whitest black girl in the world, is the blackest white girl in the world, I should say, is much too happy about that.
I think it's pretty much every man's fantasy in the whole world to see the Flavor of Love girls dressed up like some little Catholic schoolgirls.
Yeah, not so much you. Really, some of the other girls maybe, but not you. Buck Wild, you're not.
Did the big fat that girl get in the uniform too?
Oh yeah, yeah. She squeezed into it.
That had to be good.
So they're just about to do their elimination, and Thayla, who is one of the girls that was crying and crazy and weird and out of her mind, she has a one-on-one with Monique. She thinks, I'm not going to go home, and I don't feel good about this, so I'm going to go talk to her about this. Mm-hmm. And she scares her half to death.
I quit my job. I put everything in my car. I moved here, and then God used to be here, and I used to be right there. And I started smoking weed, which I still do. But Monique, one thing I've learned about being in this house, like, I'm sorry, what was your question? I'm so nervous. There's sometimes there's anger in me so bad I can't see straight.
Wow.
It's kind of like
wow.
Okay, so I don't think she did her cause any good by going in and talking to Monique one-on-one.
Jeez.
Because she's out of her mind. So, of course, Monique expels her.
Thayla, you're expelled. I need your pledge pin.
That's how they do it on this show. I need your pledge pin.
Oh, that's okay. Nice.
No feather boas here.
Nope. Sad, touching music. They expel them. They take their pledge pin back. And Thella's not happy at all because she didn't want to go.
I want to stay. It's not fair. I'm an amazing person. I couldn't even say that to you a week ago. I'm strong. And I'm independent. And I'm beautiful. And I'm wonderful. And I'm a good friend. And I'm a good confidant, and I'm a good leader. I may leave and be Oprah.
Huh?
I may leave and be an inspirational speaker that saves lives. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home.
Yeah, that might happen. You might leave and be Oprah.
Well, she's such a winner that she's the first person kicked off of Charm School, Flavor of Love.
There isn't that much good about you, honey. I got news for you. They wouldn't have kicked you off if you hadn't scared the hell out of everybody. So then they showed a upcoming episode teaser, mm-hmm. and I had to edit it for time. But here's a little taste of Flavor of Love Girls Charm School with Monique.
You ain't ashamed, bitch. No. Are you proud of me stripping on a pole, bitch?
You're the core of Charm School.
Kiss my ass. If I leave, bitch, you gonna get your ass whooped. Now, bitch, you know that's a lie. Yes, I'm gonna go there. You're gonna be able to see me. I'm a damn good mother. Do you think this is funny?
You're a whore.
And to me, you're still a slut. I'm a big slut to Chris. You think I'm not a gay girl?
You guys are all a bunch of catty ass bitches.
And it goes on and on and on.
Oh, my God.
And what a delight.
And that is Charm School. Those are the sounds of Charm School. And by the way, one of those voices was, yes, New York. They bring her back.
Oh, no.
To get in the girls' faces and stir it up.
God. You know it. I love those black folks.
You got to just let her go. Just release her to sweet death.
That's not what's going on here.
You have to let
her go. We've just had a run of some bad luck.
That's the humane thing to do, though, is it? Now you're just keeping her alive for you. That's what we're trying to say. You got to do what's best for the dog.
Maggie is a perfectly happy, healthy little dog.
Kevin and Bean Show, grand prize drawing for the weekend, Spider-Man 3 in Paris, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Federer Leezy and Lindsay Lohan coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But first, Lisa May's dog tried to commit suicide. And it's trying to get out in the worst way. It tried to OD on pills.
I think it was just an accident.
Yeah,
I think she got into the bag where I had left these pills for her back.
Mm-hmm. And, well, first of all, you should be buying pills with puppy-proof tops, first of all, because you know they're going to try to get in there and take their own lives.
Normally the pills are on the counter, but we had gone away for the weekend. I'd taken them over Easter to my mom's house, so I took
the
pills.
Was there like a file and a hammer and all kinds of stuff to open it up? No. She's trying to get out.
Maggie's
Why won't you let
really
her go?
Really good at getting into stuff. It's amazing the things she can open.
You had to take her to the vet.
So I had to take her. So I discovered that she'd gotten into the bag and the pill bottle was open and all the pills were gone. And a dose for her is one half of one pill.
Mm-hmm.
She's only 10 pounds.
So how many did she take?
There were 11 or 12 pills.
Right. So she's saying, I don't want to live anymore. And you're saying, oh, what a mistake that must have been.
I will say that I was emaciated because I usually have to put peanut butter on them. You know, for her to eat him,
mm-hmm.
and that she would just eat him by herself is kind of crazy. But
that's how much she hates her life, Lisa.
Right.
That's what we're trying to tell you. That proves our point. Hey, did they put her on 72-hour surveillance when she took her into the doggy hospital? They should have.
So I took her to the vet, and they induced vomiting, and she threw up all the pills. She looked, she was just the saddest little dog.
Did she have to go to a doggy psychiatrist then to work out her problems?
No, they knew it was an accident.
Oh, yeah. Right.
She threw up like three times, and then when I was waiting to pay, then she threw up again, then she threw up in the car.
Oh, she's having a great time. She's happy you saved her.
You know, Lisa has a little bit of the abused woman syndrome. No, no, he doesn't really hurt me. I just hit my head on a cabinet. I mean, she's in such denial as to what's going on in her own house, isn't she? Well, listen, Lisa, I know you don't listen to us. I know you don't care what we have to say, but we did line up your dog. We do actually have Maggie on the phone.
You have Maggie on the phone?
We do. Maggie's on the phone with us right now, and we want to find out right from her what's going on, and maybe we can mediate here.
She'll clear this up.
Sure. Hi, Maggie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Maggie.
Oh. Maggie, you sound so sad.
My life sucks.
Maggie, come on, tell him the truth.
What did I just say?
Well, Lisa's trying to tell us that you're a very, very happy dog, and it was an accident.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be happier. Yeah, it's great.
Maggie, we go for walks every day, all over the neighborhood.
How do you think that makes my back feel?
Oh, not better?
Well, I stretch it out when we're done.
Yeah. I have a horrible back problem.
Yeah. She has a disc problem.
I have a disc out.
Yeah.
Right.
And my ass glands don't work.
Yeah, I do have to. I have to.
Oh, don't tell us about that again. Don't tell us about that again.
She drains my anal glands.
Don't tell us about that.
Someone has to.
For God's sakes, let me just put me down.
Maggie, these are not big problems.
Give her some self-respect.
Not big problems. What if every time when you woke up, you had to have someone squeeze your ass?
Like that doesn't happen, Maggie.
And you wake up in agony because your back is filled with pain.
Maggie. Oh, that's sad.
Look, the ass thing is not fun for me either, by the way.
If I lived in the wild, I'd just go into the woods and die.
Okay, so you did try to commit suicide.
Of course I did.
Okay.
I just swallowed all those pills. Sweet release of death.
Oh, that's sad.
Maggie.
Lisa, let her go.
Sweetie, I love you.
Wait.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the goddamn pills out again.
You put them back where she can get them? Maggie?
What?
You have something to live for. Maybe she'll give you up for adoption.
I don't want to live.
You don't. All right.
I don't want to live with her.
Maggie.
I don't want to live with anyone.
What's wrong?
I want to go to doggy heaven.
What's wrong with living with Lisa?
Well, for God's sakes, it's bad enough the woman squeezes my ass every morning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the men she brings home.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Maggie.
Really? Never met a bigger whore.
Oh, Maggie, that's just not true.
I mean, I'm a dog.
Right.
And when we get in heat, we'll take it from anybody.
Sure, yeah.
But this woman.
Maggie, come on.
Just without any self-respect whatsoever.
Really, revolving door, huh, Meg?
I mean, to call her a bitch would be to put my own breed down.
Oh, that's sad.
That's just mean, Maggie.
Sweetie, it's the truth. You need some help.
I feed you.
Get a hobby. Do something.
She is doing something.
Do something to get your legs out of the air, for God's sake. Take up a sport. Collect stamps. Dude, use your mind.
Oh, no.
You're my hobby, Maggie.
Oh, let me be. Just let me die.
What the hell is that?
What's going on there, Maggie?
I'm starting a car. I'm going to run the tube into the window.
No.
How do you start a car, Maggie?
She's good.
Oh, I'm out of gas.
Oh, God. I have to go home.
That's too
bad. Maggie is... Something's going wrong here.
I try to tell her not to be such a whore.
Mm-hmm.
I try to bite the men's balls.
Well, that's right. That's you used to jump on the bed and bite them.
That's true.
What more of a message do I need to send to someone?
I thought you were just playing.
I'm telling you.
What's that?
I'm filling up the bathtub.
Oh, no.
Maggie, no.
I just have to drag the hair dryer over here. The cord's too short.
Nothing's going your way today.
Hold on a second.
What's that?
I'm turning the oven on. I blew out the pilot.
Oh, no. Not gas.
Don't get in the oven, Maggie. Don't do this.
Just threw up again.
Oh, man.
All right. I didn't want to do this, but I have no choice. Nothing else is working.
What are you going to do?
This isn't easy without opposable thumbs.
What?
But I'm going to have to do it.
What?
Goodbye.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
You have a gun in your house?
I didn't think I did. Where did you get the gun?
Dog.
Dog.
Sending somebody to Paris to see...
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man 3 in the next hour.
Wee-wee!
Why do you do that?
Yeah, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets to see all 3 days and nights of the Coachella Music and Arts Festival. That's coming up at the end of the month at 6:43, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to delve into the K-Rock email bag.
Dear Kevin and Bean, why do they keep cutting you guys off on the internet? I only got to hear the tail end of the Quentin Tarantino interview, and then it cut you off at the end again. Please fix this problem, because I need to laugh at work and not be angry that it cut you guys off. Thomas. How dare you? We are flawless on our stream. We are perfect.
Really? Never a glitch?
Never.
Is that what we're saying?
You know, I will add to that. We do get a lot of email throughout the morning with various complaints about what you're hearing on the internet stream. Just consider that you're lucky if you ever hear anything on the stream. Remember, we're the last radio station in the world to offer a website, first of all, and then to offer streaming on top of that. And second of all, we don't really have anything to do with it, but there is an address that you can write to if you're having problems like that. Unfortunately, we can't help you. We don't have anything to do with the stream.
Neither can anyone else is the answer.
Well, that may be true also.
And Natalie writes, Dear Kevin, I was informing my white friend today that according to a survey on your radio station, white people smell like mayonnaise.
That is true.
She's appalled and can't believe such lies. Can you please get back to me with your data so she will face the truth?
We did a survey.
We did.
It was scientific. And
Wheel of racial stereotypes. Yep. Took five calls. Three of them said white people smell like mayonnaise. So
yep.
I guess it's true.
Believe me, it was a bad surprise for us, too. We had no idea, but now we can't argue with it because the people have spoken. Now, here's an email on a topic that we have discussed many, many times on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is, why do Kenyans run so goddamn fast? I mean, it sounds like a joke. It sounds like we're trying to do some lame comedy. But the truth is, for instance, the Boston Marathon is being held today, as Lisa mentioned earlier. Kenyan men have won 14 out of the last 16 Boston marathons. A Kenyan woman has won 6 out of the past 7 years. And we've always asked the question, and Kevin, you were in Kenya last year, and you asked them the question as to why. I mean, it really is, it's phenomenal, their dominance around the world with this sport. They only have 34 million people. They had 58 people who ran a marathon last year in under 2 hours and 11 minutes. 58 people in a population of 34 million. The United States had 3 run in that time. Last year.
We're not talking about African either. We're talking about Kenyan.
Specifically,
Tanzania in the South. No one.
Yeah.
Right.
So this listener, Brian, sends along an article from the Wall Street Journal from a guy who has done research on this. And we've talked about it so much that I thought it was worth mentioning some of the things. First of all, Kenyans can train against each other versus other runners who are forced to train against the clock. In other words, they're racing against the fastest guys in the world. He thinks that helps. He doesn't think it has anything to do with race, the guy who did the research on this. He says, there's other countries that are, nearby, Nairobi, countries like that, that have the same atmosphere. They have the same, the same terrain. They're basically come from the same stock. He says the reason that Kenyans run so fast is because the Boston Marathon's $100,000 winner's prize is enough to set you up for life and fame and glory and permanent legend in the home country if you're able to win it. Americans just don't care that much about winning $100,000. And it kind of makes sense when you look at these reality TV shows that you can go on and be on it for 4 weeks and win $1 million. What's $100,000? What are you going to buy? It says here in the article, 1/20th of a New York City apartment. And here's the concluding paragraph, and I think this would be an interesting experiment to try. I truly believe the Kenyans have the best athletes running, and we don't. I'd love for Nike or Reebok or Brooks or somebody to come out and offer $2 million to the next American that wins the Boston New York Marathon and see what happens. Wouldn't that be interesting if they actually did something like that and see if that would be the incentive people would need to run that fast? Because right now, Kenyans won, the rest of the world zero.
But you know what doesn't make any sense? That $100,000 would be just as impressive to any of the other African countries. But they don't.
Well, that is true.
They don't. I don't know. I don't understand.
It sounds like maybe in Kenya, though, that's what they're famous for and that's what they're proud of. And that's what gets you the recognition. You know, if you're one guy in Nairobi who wins it, maybe people go, hey, that's cool. But in Kenya, I mean, they've already kind of already entrenched in their culture that it's a big deal and you rule.
And you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, if you go to the Download Rodeo. There's a bunch of sounds from the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kevin, I just wanted to know if there's any way you guys could put up the honking noise from the Ying Yang Twins. I think this would definitely make a fine addition to my AIM sounds. Plus, I think it would also be good use when I get the horn tones put on my car. Come on, who would use a standard horn on their cars when you could have the modern type from the Ying Yang Twins? Please put this up. So we'll have to do that. We also need Paul Moyer's rant.
That's
good stuff right
there.
You know,
you go home and have a couple of shooters, and I don't know what the happens, but when you come back, you're not the same lady.
And please put Brokeback Island up. We're not going to be able to do that, Stephen. I'm sorry.
No. We don't have time.
Sure
we don't have time for that.
Copyright infringement Brokeback problem, Island. And we're not going to be able to.
From director Ang Lee and the producers of Brokeback Mountain comes yet another story of a love between two men that would not be denied.
I haven't had an erection in 11 years.
Hey, want a party on my c***?
Two radio DJs.
I suck so hard.
Discovering love within each other.
Hold on, I'm trying to swallow.
One, fearing that their love would never be accepted.
He's just magic.
Moved to a faraway island. The other man.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Knowing his life would never be complete without his partner. Dyed his blonde hair, put on his green pleather jacket, and moved to that island to join him.
Hey, blow me?
Ooh, ooh!
Together, the two men will discover a love...
In your mouth!
...that could not be weakened by time, distance, or a lack of talent.
It's getting hot in here.
Hi, we're looking for Dick...
Ang Lee presents Brokeback Island.
I am a whore. K-Fed and Lindsay Lohan?
What?
That is bizarre.
That is awesome, and we'll talk about that when we get back. Plus, the grand prize drawing from the weekend, a chance for you to go see Spider-Man 3 in Paris, France, before it opens here.
Stop it. You're Spider-Man, scaring children.
Spider-Man Trey.
Spider-Man okay. Trey. Sorry.
Un, deux, trois.
Excellent.
First, Ralph Garber is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning at 6:57. Ralph, what the hell's going on?
Well, K-Fed's not the only one they're talking about when it comes to Lindsay Lohan's romance.
She's just open for business, isn't she?
More than you could possibly know. The National Enquirer is now saying she's spending lots of quality time, in quotes, with a New York City club DJ named Samantha Ronson.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Apparently, she may be playing with the other team a little bit.
That's
switching
sides.
I love lesbians.
Maybe dabbling. A little like same-sex love. So...
Boobs.
Believe that if you want to.
I do?
And I do. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies in the box office this weekend, shall we? Disturbia, number one by far. 23 million in its debut, made it number one. Blades of Glory was number two at the box office this weekend, about $14 million. Smash hit. Meet the Robinsons was number three. Perfect Stranger, the new Bruce Willis Halle Berry movie, is fourth with $11.5 million at the box office.
Hey, Ralph, you're the showbiz guy. Maybe you know. After enough of these movies like this one and Catwoman and seven others, can they take her Oscar away, or is it not retroactive like that?
No, it's the it's known as the Whoopi Goldberg bylaw, where apparently once they give you an Oscar, it's yours to keep.
Well, that's bogus. That's unfortunate.
It went to the courts, and apparently they overturned it, so that's sad.
Should have to uphold some kind of standard.
Yeah, one critic said, I'd like to see a movie where... Hilary Swank and Halle Berry get together and put their Oscars on an end table and go for a jog and talk about their career choices with The Reaping and this movie. Are we done yet? Number five at the box office. Pathfinder was number six. Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs?
Oh, shut up, Omar.
Shut up, Omar.
The Tim Allen comedy, $4.6 million this weekend, was good enough to make it number seven. The Reaping, speaking of Hilary Swank, it was eighth at the box office, 9,300, and then Grindhouse, an anemic number 10 at the box office, made only $4.2 million.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a good show.
It's a good time.
Barry Nelson was a character actor, worked for a long time, since the 50s. He's had a long, long career. He died at the age of 89 over the weekend, but that's really not the interesting part of the story is he was always one of my favorite trivia questions. He was the first actor ever to play James Bond.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In 1954, there was a made-for-TV movie based on the first James Bond novel, Casino Royale, and he played James Bond in that. So he was always one of my favorite trivia questions.
He must not have knocked it out of the park, I'll tell you that.
Well, it was 54. It was a black and white. It was alive. It was one of those Playhouse 90 type of shows on CBS. It was a live drama, and they changed it around quite a bit. They made him an American, first of all.
Ah.
Jimmy Bond, his character was in this version. And it's quite entertaining. If you ever get a chance, I think it's on DVD. You can pick that up. But yeah,
that was quite a few years before they started the movie franchise, right?
Yeah, about 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to suck. It's got to suck to be him and see all the James Bonds that have gone
Dude,
on.
Dude, I so did that first.
Right.
Looks like they're going to make a new Incredible Hulk movie. I think it's the first time I've seen a remake spin around so quickly after the original. Because the first one with Eric Bana, remember Nick Nolte?
Was right.
Just a piece of crap.
Yeah, it was awful.
Directed, it was just horrible.
But a huge hit, though, Ralph, remember. Remember, it made a lot of cash.
It made a lot of money, but not nearly what they expected it to. And almost everyone was universally disappointed in the results.
Yeah, it was awful.
Marvel Comics is making a new Hulk movie that'll be out in June of 2008, according to the studio. And it looks like Edward Norton will play Dr. Bruce Banner, the man who turns into the Incredible Hulk.
Edward Norton.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Well, he's a great actor, yeah.
I think he can pull it off. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And this is something for Lisa and Kevin. Finally, this is a musical, a Broadway musical we can all get behind.
What?
Apparently, they're doing a new version of the legendary Broadway show South Pacific in New York. It should be debuting in January 2008. And if you believe the New York Post, Scarlett Johansson will be starring.
Wow.
She'll be playing U.S. Navy nurse Nellie Forbush in a revival of the musical The Lincoln Center in 2008.
Good casting right
now,
there.
Now, you would go see that, right, Kevin? Scarlett Johansson was in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a shower scene.
Yep.
Oh. Where she washes that man right out of her hair. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. She's just wrapped in a towel while she sings it.
Boobs.
Come on. Let's all go. Let's all get tickets.
I'm in.
We can do something Lisa wants to do for once when we're in New York.
That would be such a nice change.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ellen Barkin. Talented?
Oh,
you bet.
Man.
Beautiful?
Yes.
They don't get much more lovely.
Absolutely.
53 years old today. David Perner from Soul Asylum turns 43 years old today. Martin Lawrence turns 42. John Cryer from Two and a Half Men is also 42 years old today. Also, he's just announced his pending nuptials with entertainment reporter Lisa Joyner. She's a hottie. Good work, John. Peter Billingsley, who played Little Ralphie in the Christmas Story movie. He's 36 years old today.
He's a homo.
No, he is not. He's a talented director-producer now. That's what Peter Billingsley
is
doing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And Lucas Haas, the little kid from Witness, who's all grown up. He's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Listening to... excuse me.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Coming up, we've got the grand prize drawing for Spider-Man 3.
Now, we really are going to give you a trip to see the movie in Paris. Now, this is awesome because this doesn't happen very often with these big blockbusters, but they're actually not opening this one in the United States first. The world premiere, I think, is going to be in Tokyo, and then a couple days after that, Paris, and then it's got a couple more cities before it even gets to the United States. But all weekend long, we give away tickets to people for the K-Rock screening of Spider-Man 3, and someone is going to Gay Paris. We'll do that grand prize drawing in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Lisa Bay was either sick or in Mexico on Friday. We're not sure which. It doesn't really matter.
You'll never know.
She was out of touch enough to not hear the story that the National Enquirer is putting out there, that Kevin Federline spent the night with Lindsay Lohan.
Yay!
At
that is
the
shocking.
Lumertage Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Shocking. I don't know.
You would have never thought we'd see him again, right?
I never thought he'd climb that high or she'd slum that low.
That's a good way to put it, Lisa. Definitely, they're definitely passing each other, going in different directions. That's for sure. We just don't know which. Well, let's find out what's happening with the former Mr. Britney Spears, Kevin Federline, on the phone with us right now. Yeah, hey,
yeah,
K-Fed.
Yeah. Word. Yeah. Telephone call.
What?
Right. K-Fed, I got to be honest, and I know I speak for the room when I say, after the divorce settlement with Britney, we thought you'd just curl up and die. We never thought we'd hear your name again, yet you managed to stay in the headlines. How do you do it?
Can't count me out, you know what I'm saying? The only thing that's going to be left in this world after the nuclear war is cockroaches and Kevin Federline, because I'm a survivor.
Now, according to the National Enquirer, insiders, it says, claim that you were invited to talk business with Lindsay Lohan at her hotel. You brought your manager expecting to talk about a movie project.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to develop my career as an actor.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I know she's young, hot, and in Hollywood. So, you know, our people were getting together and we're discussing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
mum's the word about the project we're working on, but, you know, that is true.
Okay.
Look, I don't blame you at all for taking the meeting because, you know, think what you will about Lindsay and her tabloid reputation. She is a movie star. I mean, she does make successful movies from time to time. So why not glom onto that if you can, right?
Word to your mother, Bean.
Now, you showed up with your manager, and apparently Lindsay, according to the National Enquirer now, said, you can send him away. We need to talk one-on-one. And you went to her suite, and you spent the night with her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know... Like I said, I can't give away a lot of the details, but, you know, I was there with my manager, Girth Brooks, Dark Gable, my producer.
I'm sorry, who's your manager?
Girth Brooks.
Okay. And did she ask him to leave?
I was with Dark Gable and then my bodyguard, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I'm like, look, guys, as artists, we might want to find a connection and see how we act together in a scene. You know what I'm saying? So I brought some work with, and then I said, please leave. We're about to do some private stuff that only artists do. Okay. And they did, and they left us alone.
Was the private stuff sex?
You know what, Kevin? Lindsay Lohan's a very nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a gentleman.
I don't talk.
You know what I'm saying?
Gentlemen, that's all you do is talk.
Gentlemen do not need to go around bragging about their poontang.
Wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all you've done since you came to our awareness.
Whatever. Listen, sister, I am not the type of hunter who's going to mount the head of his prey up on his wall.
Yes, you know
what I'm saying? What? You are not questioning me, okay? I'm telling you about who I am. I'm keeping it real. So why don't you do the same, bitch?
All right, calm down here, Kevin. Calm down. Let me put it another way.
I'm insulted. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, don't be insulted.
I'm a gentleman. I'm not about to talk about my love life.
Okay, let me put it another way. Maybe I can ask it in a different way, Kevin. You won't get upset. Did you hit that?
White devil bean? I already talked about it. Look, I have...
Are you dating Lindsay Lohan?
I have been very successful with the lady since the divorce with that fat hoe, okay? But... I'm not really going to give you details about my love life, okay?
Okay, where's Kevin?
Where's Kevin Federline?
Clearly not Kevin.
That's a good point.
What did you do with Kevin, and is he okay?
I've been through a lot, okay, in the early 2007.
Right.
And I've grown up. Because of that, I've grown up.
In the last 3 months.
Are you or are you not together with Lindsay Lohan? What's the good of having you on the phone if you're not going to tell us?
Right now, I have no comment, okay?
No comment.
All right. But all right. Many times in my life, you know, we've talked, and I've said... The only way I can truly express myself and give my genuine emotions is through my art, through my music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You haven't given that up yet?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't choose to be a rapper. I was born that way. And rapping is not who, it's not what I do, it's who I am.
Yeah, okay? We understand that. All right, so what you're saying is you're not going to confirm or deny any relationship with Miss Lohan, but perhaps if we listen closely to the new song you dropped off, maybe we'll get some answers.
Cryptic as it may be.
Okay.
If you perk up your ears, clean the wax out them.
Okay.
Out them dogs. You might hear some things in my new song.
What's the name of it?
Lips and Fuego.
Lips
and Fuego.
And Fuego. New Kevin Federline song.
Oh, yeah. K-Fed. Don't give up on them, you know what I'm saying? Just because one Hollywood hoe's done with them, don't mean there ain't more.
The cooch, the cooch, the cooch is on fire. The cooch, the cooch, the cooch is on fire. Said her cooch, her cooch, her cooch is on fire.
Kevin Federline hits it till it's time to retire. The red hair falling on her freckly skin. Open up your barbecue so I can put my meat in. I'm Federline, and I'm always fully loaded. Got rid of Britney Spears when she got too bloated. Hey, mean girl, your beaver is burning when I see the fire crotch. My penis is yearning for that ass. I'm gonna put it to sleep on the fireproof blanket in the back of my Jeep, cause my undies are like a palace of meat, and all them other little wiggers, they can't compete, cause I'm delivering blows to them red-headed hoes, and putting out infernos with my fire hose. Only going where many men have gone before, using that bitch like a revolving door, cause every man in Hollywood needs to get his turn, and dip his penis where he gets a third-degree burn. The fire crotch, causing lots of drama, when you go downstairs, you smell Wilmer Valderrama. I mean, that's one spicy taco, with a chastity belt that's long been unlocked, so recognize when you're dealing with me, the white trash Casanova, K-F-E-D. They call me K-Fed. You'll stop and stare when I light my cigarette on her pubic hair. It's on fire. I thought I told you that we won't stop.
The crotch, the crotch, the crotch is on fire. The crotch, the crotch, the crotch is on fire. Said her crotch, her crotch, her crotch is on fire.
And it's got more hair than that queer Sanjaya. From American Idol, y'all.
Right, we know.
So, very cryptic. There's no way to tell who he's all talking about there at all.
Too vague.
So, mean girl, redhead, fire crotch, inferno, third degree burn, lit cigarette in her pubic hair?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to confirm or deny it?
No, not right now. You know, like I said, I'm gonna let my art do the talking.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, K-Fed.
Bye
now.
We got Sublime, also Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, coming up this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for some station business. As you know, all weekend long, we were giving away tickets to see Spider-Man 3, the K-Rock screening, giving away copies of the first two movies on DVD, copy of the Spider-Man 3 soundtrack, and everybody eligible for this drawing that we're doing right now to go see Spider-Man 3 in Gay Paris. Never been to Paris, by the way.
Oh, I have. It's great.
Yeah, not...
They hate us. They hate Americans.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think I hate them, too.
Yeah.
I hear it's a beautiful city, though.
They're cheese-eating surrender monkeys, remember?
That's what I understand, yeah. Hear music like this everywhere you go?
Oh, sure.
That would be annoying.
Give us a hint. Who are we calling? What city are we calling?
Los Angeles, California.
Ooh, that narrows it down.
Yes. Your phone is ringing right now. Maybe answer.
Go ahead and pick it up.
People qualify by getting the...
Hello, this is Kenny.
That's him.
Sorry, I'm not in to take your call.
Yeah. Hey, French guy, do it.
And I'll call you back in my early...
I can't do it.
French guy, come on, tell him.
I can't do it.
$500 spending cash.
Hold round. I can't do it.
Go.
Can't do it.
Defend a numeric name.
Nope.
Sorry, zero is not a valid...
I didn't push zero. I'm not pushing anything.
Record your message after the tone.
Okay. Here we go.
To send a numeric page,
okay, French
press
guy.
5.
French guy.
Okay.
When
here we
you
go.
Are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery.
Let us leave a message, bitch.
Oh, ho, ho. This is K-Rock Radio calling. You've won a trip to Paris to see the Spider-Man 3. Ah, congratulations, wee wee.
I'm sorry, that's all I got.
Tell him $500 spending cash.
Oh, and a $500 spending cash for you.
Hey, way to go, Ken. What's Ken's last name from Los Angeles? He's just won the trip.
Kenneth Hamilton from Los
Ken
Angeles.
Hamilton.
Congratulations. Would have been so much better if you didn't have any phone.
Oh, this is good.
Okay,
so
that's the deal.
Kenneth, so we'll call you back. Yeah, he's going to go, some jackass has left a message on my phone.
Yeah, you know he's going to hear that and think it must have been a wrong number or something, right?
Of course.
So we got two passes to the K-Rock screening of Spider-Man 3 May 3rd over the weekend. Got a copy of Spider-Man 1 and 2 on DVD. Got a copy of the CD soundtrack to Spider-Man 3. And is going to Paris, France to see Spider-Man 3 before it opens in America.
He's so lucky.
Not bad, right?
Hope he likes Spider-Man, by the way. That's a lot of Spider-Man.
All right, let's tell you about the next thing we're giving away this week. How about Coachella? Right. Now, Coachella is rapidly approaching, finally. A week from Friday, a week from Saturday, a week from Sunday. That's you got right. Your Bjork and your Jesus and Mary Chain, Arctic Monkeys, and a whole lot more on a week from Friday. You got the Red Hot Chili Peppers headlining on Saturday with Arcade Fire and, 5,000 other bands.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, April 29th, a week from Sunday, is Rage Against the Machine and Willie Nelson. They're playing together. That's going to be a hell of a show. And, thousands of others. And the three-day passes, as you know, have been sold out since they went on sale.
Yeah.
Sold out. And we're going to start giving away three-day passes coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you how to win them. We're going to have some games and stuff like that. But starting at 10 o'clock, if you hear three songs in a row by the Red Hot Chili Peppers or three songs in a row by Rage Against the Machine, be caller 20, and you'll win a three-day pass. It's going to be going on all day on K-Rock starting at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Dude. Three-day passes for three songs in a row by the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine. Time for the Afro calls. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number 24 hours a day for you to leave us a message on any topic, including guests that have been on our show recently.
Oh, you guys are just great. You guys are great. I hope you guys are proud of yourselves. I guess the Jedi powers or whatever still works. Guys, call in Paul Tracy. Talk to him. What happens the next day of practice? The guy crashes. He's out for 3 to 4 months. Almost dies. Great job, guys. Great job. Why don't you guys call Rosie O'Donnell? Bring her in. Talk to her, please.
Dude, if we had that power, we would.
Yes, yeah, we would.
Seriously, that's exactly where we would be using our curse next if it really existed. Look, it was... It was an unfortunate coincidence that we spoke with Mr. Tracy Friday. He got hurt on Saturday. But he is a freaking race car driver, okay? It's not like he was walking down the street and got hit in the face with a goose. I mean, he actually was out racing an automobile. It happens. You do get hurt. We refuse to accept responsibility for it.
Oh, nice. I'm driving down to Topanga Canyon in beautiful downtown Canoga Park. I look up to a billboard for 93.9 and see Rick D shaking his big, fat J-Lo booty. I think I'm going to pull over and puke.
Is that
this is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah. Yeah. They have TV commercials, the whole deal. And nobody looks like they're pulling a funny one more than he does on his face. He just looks so happy with himself about how funny that is. Yeah, it's bad. It's talked to KFAD about Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. Lindsay Lohan, Kevin Federline. Someone raised the question about, doesn't she know he's Kevin Federline? Isn't the better question, doesn't he know she's Lindsay Lohan?
It's hard to say at this point.
I don't think so. I think she's a way step up. I mean, she's a movie star. Too. He's a failed rapper. Yeah.
No, if I had the chance to hit it with Lindsay before she overdoses, I would.
Here's a guy who's learned how to give gifts from my man Bean.
Kevin, what's going on, buddy? Happy belated birthday. You know, the stripper I sent you, she had a little trouble with the directions. She's on her way.
Uh-huh.
She will be there. I know she's a little late, but she I talked to her. She's on her way.
Okay.
Just wait. She'll be there.
All right.
All right, so I talked to the company that I ordered your birthday gift from on Friday, sure, Kevin.
Yeah. I really did.
And they said it should have been there by now. It's definitely on the way. No, we don't have a tracking number, but if it doesn't get there by the end of this week, let us know and we'll send out a new one. That's what they said.
No, I know.
We'll see what happens.
I'm serious.
No, I'm fine with it.
I don't care. I'm fine with it.
How dare you?
Just say you didn't get anything.
Hi, this is Sonny Bono, and you're listening to
Sonny.
That's not even trying. Come on. That's not even trying.
Sometimes we inspire music, actual music, to come out of listeners.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I was just thinking about you guys while I was taking a doo-doo the other day, and I wrote a little song for you guys. And a 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm gonna take a doo-doo. Gonna take a doo-doo. I gotta take a stinky doo-doo. Kevin and Bean.
Isn't that great?
Aww.
Man, this is f***ing weak.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is on vacation this week. He went on a cruise with his family. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, the week it looks like the Clippers are going to get eliminated from the playoffs. But that's not why he's calling us from the cruise ship.
Oh.
Hey, guys, what up? It's Dave, the King of Mexico. I'm calling from a cruise ship right now. There's 14 days, 9 hours, 7 minutes, and 52 seconds until Rage Against the Machine takes a stage at Coachella. Now, Kevin, when I get back from vacation, I don't want to hear that you broke them up again and they canceled, or I will kill you. Kevin?
Well, we do have Tom Morello coming in next week to talk about the Rage Against the Machine reunion, so it might be smart to make Kevin leave the room.
How dare
interview.
You? I love him.
Yeah, you loved him last time when you broke up his band, too.
I can play like him in Guitar Hero 2. That's me.
I'd like to see you guys go head-to-head. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. And speaking of the King of Mexico and his Clippers song, remember this?
The Clipper Nation's back.
Sure. The Clipper Nation's back. These Clipper boys don't know how to pack.
See?
The Clippers suck, and that's a fact. Hey, Dave, I think the Clippers will need Jack. Pick him off the court!
Not much of an effort, was it?
No, not really.
Just after the top of the hour, we're going to give away our first three-pack of tickets for Coachella, all 3 days. It's sold out. And we're going to do it with a little game we like to call Stump Rodney.
Oh. Yeah, that's hot.
I'm glad he's going to be in helping us out with that game.
Stump Rodney. Usually we can't get him up to help us, but this time he's coming in because of Coachella.
He loves Coachella. That's why.
Coachella is the holiday for Rodney, right?
So if you have any questions about any of the bands that are playing the bill, Rodney, you will not be able to stump him. That's our promise to you. So give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067.
Now, is that the category? Are those the only questions Rodney is accepting today? Is questions about the bands, or can you call in anything else having to do with Rodney?
There are 700 bands. It seems like that'd be enough. Don't you think?
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I was in the meeting, but I don't remember us coming to that decision, but that's fine.
Kevin Wright's new bit. That's our new segment call.
What would they ask him about Coachella?
Any trivia question.
Of any kind.
We had the 6 categories from Trivial Pursuit we were going to use. You could use
there was
any
some
other
talk
questions from any of those categories. That's how we were going to define it. But you had your own meeting, apparently, and you came up with something fresh. So
I thought we went with a tie-in to the music instead of just the generic.
I'm sure that conversation in your own head was fascinating. No one else was.
I don't
in
find
the room.
Conversation with myself fascinating, so that can't have been it.
Well, look, none of us were in that meeting, but I mean, if that's what you heard, then I mean, we'll go along with it if that's what you're saying. But
seems to make sense.
Ask questions about the bands, sure.
It seems to make sense.
So you'd rather somebody called up with a red jumpsuit apparatus question, for instance, than maybe some comedy about the Spanish Inquisition.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Any day of the week.
That's what we'll do then. All right. So if you want to stump Rodney about any of the bands playing the Coachella Festival, 1-800-520-1067, you may just win tickets for all 3 days.
Or the Spanish Inquisition.
Right now at 7:51, officer with the show, Miss Beat Warner.
Someone called that, Rodney, who wrote Moby Dick? See, and then Rodney would have to, like, answer that kind of question as opposed to just specific questions about bands.
Well, that's what we were thinking in the meeting.
Right, listen, who wrote Moby Dick? The Bengals. See, that's funny because the Bengals didn't write Moby Dick.
Should I start again?
No.
I can start over.
No, it's perfect. Right. We'll fix it in post.
All right.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Disturbia. Yeah. $23 million. Made more than it cost to make, by the way, in 1 week.
That's awesome.
That's a good sign for a film. It's number one by far. Blades of Glory was number two at the box office, made $14 million. Then Meet the Robinsons. Perfect Stranger was number four. The new Bruce Willis movie, Are We Done Yet, was number five. Pathfinder, the epic story of a Viking beating up Indians.
Yeah!
It was number 6. Wild Hogs was number 7. The Reaping with Hillary Swank was 8. 9 was 300. And Grindhouse rounding at your top 10 movies at the box office.
I was thinking about your pal Shia LaBeouf that we spoke with last week.
The
Ralph.
Boof! The boof! The boof is on fire!
Now, he's a good-looking kid. He's a talented actor. He's been working steady for a few years now. I mean, his career was going along fine. But, I mean, to have this 1-2-3 punch of this movie come out and be so big and then have Transformers coming out 4th of July and then to have the announcement about him being in the Indiana Jones movie and then he's hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend, he must just wake up this morning and go, what happened? How did all this come about in the last couple of months? It's crazy.
Also just announced he'll be starring as Don Ho in the Don Ho story. Apparently, independent film company is trying to capitalize on the Hawaiian music star's death this week and has announced they're making the Don Ho biopic. Shia LaBeouf will be starring as Don Ho.
I think he'll be outstanding.
Here's a little clip. He's already been practicing. Here's Shia LaBeouf singing the famous Tiny Bubbles song by Don Ho.
Tiny bubbles.
Wow, sounds just like him.
That's uncanny.
I think that is him, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's the right man for the job. Jeez.
Yeah, Hawaiian music star Don Ho passed away over the weekend, died of a heart attack on Saturday at the age of 76 years old today. Don Saturday. Apparently, Don had major heart problems over the past few years. He had a pacemaker installed, and he even went as far as to travel to Thailand in 2005 to undergo an experimental stem cell procedure for his heart.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Didn't turn out so well, apparently. Yeah, so Don's gone. I saw Don Ho when I was a kid, went to one of our family Hawaiian vacations.
I never saw him.
Really?
No. My family went, I didn't go.
I was like, so that's what this guy does? He just sings that song and these bubbles get blown out of that machine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll be on the beach. Yeah, that Britney Spears, she's nuts.
Excellent.
Look, just because she got out of rehab and they say she's clean and sober these days doesn't mean she's not crazy. Apparently, she went to dinner with her cousin over the weekend, and when she came out of the restaurant, she called over one of the paparazzis with a video camera and launched into this bizarre, insane monologue.
Awesome.
That she went rattling on and on in a fake Valley Girl accent.
Cool.
Giving her fans thanks for their support and then going off on the state of American tabloid journalism.
Okay.
I don't have the tape. We're trying to find the tape. But I do have... This is actual some of the... what are they? The transcript from what she said in the video. So I'll try to do it justice. But she says... And, like, I saw these magazines, and they said I was, like, pregnant. And it's, like, so true. Like, America, believe everything you read because you're smart and I'm stupid. Like, for real.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then she went on to take a stab at her manager that she just fired. And, like, my management totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab, didn't they?
She was bagging on them?
Yeah, but in a bad Valley Girl accent in a long, rambling diatribe.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's still bald and nuts, so got that going for
That's
her.
Good news.
Tiny bubble.
Nothing to do with Don Ho.
That's her.
Not her. It's Don Ho. Ed Norton is signed up to be the next new Hulk.
Oh!
Apparently he will play Dr. Bruce Banner, of course, the scientist who becomes the Green Giant. Marvel Studios has announced the release date for the film will be June 13th, 2008. It will be directed by Louis Leterrier, is his name. Uh-huh. And apparently the guy who's writing it is Zach Penn, the guy who wrote the X-Men sequel. So looks like they might do it right this time.
Cool.
As opposed to that Ang Lee debacle.
What was the problem with that, by the way?
Well, Ang Lee wanted to take a comic book superhero movie and use it to tell a story about man's inner turmoil and relationships with their father and the Oedipal complex.
Not really the place to do
Not
it.
Not so much. Save that for your highfalutin movies. And Rose McGowan did not break up Grindhouse director Robert Rodriguez's marriage. You may have heard rumors to the contrary. Us Weekly magazine reports that Robert was separated from his wife for months before he even started filming Grindhouse. Oh. And reportedly that's when the affair began between Robert Rodriguez and Rose McGowan. But she was not responsible for the breakup. That marriage was already in trouble before she ever got around to it.
After that opening sequence, you can see why.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And Dave Round... Let me try that again.
Take two.
And Dave Roundtree. Name sound familiar to you?
No.
No, not
He's
really.
The drummer for Blur.
Okay.
He's running for office.
What office?
He has announced his bid for the council seat in the city of Westminster in London. The election will be held on May 3rd. And Blur is basically on hiatus these days, so he's got a bit of free time, so he wants to get into government. So he's going to run for the city council of Westminster.
So every time Damon Albarn announces he's got another spinoff band, another side project, the rest of the guys in Blur are like, seriously, at some point you've got to come back around and pick us up, right?
Right, so I guess I'll just get into government then, because I won't be doing any drumming anymore for you year anyway,
he said. And then he sang,
Tiny Bubble.
There it is.
There we go.
I mean,
there we go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ellen Barkin. Talented, yeah. Lovely, woo! Sexy. Yum, yum, yum. She's
absolutely
53 years old today. You know her, of course, from such movies as The Big Easy with Dennis Quaid.
Yep.
Oh, she was hot in that. Sea of Love with my boy Al Pacino.
Sure.
Oh,
that was the one.
Very
That's
hot.
The one right there.
And she'll be in Ocean's 13, the upcoming sequel with George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Oh.
David Perner from Soul Asylum is 43 years old today. Martin Lawrence celebrates his 42nd birthday. John Cryer, star of Two and a Half Men, is 42 years old today. Peter Billingsley, who played Little Ralphie in The Christmas Story, he's 36. Lucas Haas, young man who was in Witness with Harrison Ford, many other feature films, he's 31 years old today. Our own Kat Corbett. Hey, look, Kat Corbett celebrates her birthday today. I want to give her a shout-out. And also... now that my wife's awake, I'd like to wish her a happy second anniversary, honey.
Wow. Oh, no kidding.
2 years today. We've been married for 2 years.
You owe me, B. You owe me.
Yeah, I lost money. Another goddamn
money
office
change
pool.
Change in hands.
Yep.
The over-under, I think, was a year and a half. So if you took the over, congratulations. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
K-Rock 106.7.
No, we're going to introduce you in a second here, Rodney. Stand by.
Rodney on the Rock. Okay.
No, Rodney, hang on. Rodney, listen. Right. It's the
Kevin.
Giving
away tickets now to Coachella. If you'd like to go to Coachella, call now. Questions for me.
Rodney, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:07. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio, the legend himself, the man with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Rodney Bingenheimer, has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Rodney.
All right. K-Rock, 106.7.
You don't have to say any of that.
Show.
It's us, Rodney.
The Ramones coming up.
No.
We got a new single from a band from Japan. You're going to love them. They're
Rodney,
really very talented.
Rodney, we'd like to give away tickets to Coachella.
14-year-old girls. They're great.
Oh.
All right, Coachella. Coachella's
right.
coming
Listen.
Up.
Right.
Coming
yeah, that's
up
right. That's what we're
in
saying.
October. Mm-hmm. Everyone's no. ready for
end
Coachella.
Of the month. Just the end of the month.
Don't
right.
eat those
it's a week
apples
from Friday.
With razor blades in them. Okay, Halloween.
Rodney. Listen, Rodney. Listen for just a second.
I used to get raisins when I was a kid. I'd go trick-or-treating in Beverly Hills. Cher would take me.
Okay, we don't have time for that.
Boxes of raisins.
Hey, Rodney. Can we play Stump Rodney?
Chocolate. Sometimes
Rodney
get raisinettes. They're raisins with chocolate on them.
Right.
You'd eat
them. It's time for Stump Rodney, people.
Can you Stump Rodney? Can you Stump Rodney?
Yeah, wig wham bam.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Rodney, here's
goobers were peanut chocolate on them.
Okay, we don't have time for that story, but
nuts and goobers.
Here's what Kevin has come up with you for today, Rodney.
Serving bags.
There's so many. Okay,
you can
Rodney.
Mix them and have peanuts and raisins and chocolate.
Okay, that's fantastic. Listen up. The Coachella Festival is coming up a week from Friday, and it's everybody that you've heard about. It's, you know, the Bjork and the Interpol, Jesus and Mary Chain, Arctic Monkeys, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Arcade Fire, Rage Against the Machine, Air, Happy Mondays, Willie Nelson. I mean, it's an unbelievable lineup. And we figure you're the music authority here at K-Rock, Rodney. There's probably no question that our K-Rock listeners can't ask you about one of the many acts playing that weekend that you won't have the answer to, because that's how good you are.
All right, Coachella.
That's all you got out of that?
Godhead. Coachella's Godhead.
All right, people are going to ask you questions, okay? People are going to ask.
K-Rock 106.7.
Okay. Let's try and dive into this. Let's go with Derek in Pasadena. Good morning, Derek.
Derek and the Dominoes. Next question.
Hey, what's going on?
Next question. No, Derek, Eric Clapton.
That wasn't
right.
a question.
Next
question.
Eric now, Clapton.
Derek, I want you to listen up, because you're going to ask Rodney
Layla.
A question. And if you stump him, you're going to be in the drawing that we're going to do at the end. And somebody on the phone right now is going to win tickets to not one, not two, but all 3 days of the Coachella Music Festival. Okay? So
nice.
You may be in the running if you can stump Rodney. He's on the line with us right now. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Rodney?
Hey, 106.7 K-Rock, all right.
All right, so here's my question for you. I'm, like, the biggest Red Hot Chili Peppers fan ever, so I hope that you won't be able to answer this question.
All right.
All right, what's the question?
What was the name of the guitarist that replaced John Frusciante and ended up recording another album with the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Rodney?
All right, all right. That was Lita Ford, The Runaways.
No,
Rodney, it wasn't at all.
She left Joan Jett. Broke up. The Runaways broke up. Joan Jett left.
No.
Lita went on to play.
Can I tell him who it was?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it Dave Navarro?
Dave Navarro.
Yeah, Dave Navarro, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, you stumped Rodney. Congratulations.
Have you heard of Dave Navarro?
All right.
Ramon Navarro.
What?
That doesn't even make any sense, Rodney.
No idea what you're even saying.
All right, so Derek is in the running. He was able to stump Rodney. So a little bit of a slow start here, Rodney, but let's take another question from the listeners.
1-800-5-
Rodney! We're on the air.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
Lee and West Covina, good morning.
Coming up next.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. Rodney's a little off. Go ahead.
Hey, Rodney, how you doing?
All right. Godhead.
All right, what's your question, Lee?
I'm going to change it up a little bit.
All right.
One of the biggest performers DJ is going to be there. His name's Tiesto. Now, where is Tiesto from?
Tiesto? Mm. Tiesto's from...
Berlin.
Berlin.
Nope.
Tiesto is from Berlin? Playing Saturday night with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's the answer, Lee?
He's in Neverland. He's Dutch. Holland.
Dutch.
Berlin with Tony... Berlin with Terry Nunn.
No, that's a Berlin. That's a band.
Yeah, he was in Berlin.
God's sakes.
All right, Lee, hold on. Berlin. He's not from Berlin. Metro. He's probably never even been to Berlin.
Metro.
You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Sex.
All right, let's...
That song's...
Oh, dear God.
Let's go to Frank in Northridge. Good morning, Frank.
I can't believe I got two wrong already.
You're on with Rodney. Go ahead.
Hey, Rodney, what was the name of Rage Against the Machine's second album?
Bananarama.
What?
Bananarama.
Rodney, that's the name of another band.
They were Cruel Summer.
Right, but that doesn't have anything to do with Rage Against the Machine.
Three girls from England.
Frank, tell Rodney.
I'm sorry.
Frank, tell Rodney.
It's Evil Empire.
All right, Evil Empire. You hold on.
A little bit of better answer, Rodney. Does that sound familiar now that Frank says it? Evil Empire. You remember that with Rage, right?
That featuring the single Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
No.
What?
No.
106.7, K-Rock.
Okay. Ruben in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you. You're on with Stump Rodney.
All right.
Or you're on with Rodney, either way.
Okay, the hip-hop band The Roots has a basis from what K-Rock band?
From the Bronski Beat. same basis as Bronski Beat.
No.
Same one. All right, Godhead. I got one right. That bell means I'm
no,
right.
No, that's a buzzer.
No.
That's wrong.
It was bell.
Ruben, what's the answer we were actually looking
Incubus.
For?
Incubus.
From Incubus. Right. Same guy at The Roots.
Woo,
okay.
I got one.
You didn't get it. You didn't get it right,
one
Rodney.
For me.
Hold on, Ruben.
All right. One for Rodney, right. One.
So far, everyone has stumped Rodney. Let's just do one more, and then we've got to do the drawing and find out who's going to be going to all 3 days of Coachella. Caesar in Azusa. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show with the great Rodney Bigenheimer. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right,
Rodney. At the 1993 Lollapalooza, what did the members of Rage Against the Machine have on their chest?
What did they have on their chest?
Oh, yeah. There was writing or something, right? They wrote it.
Yeah. They wrote Dexy's Midnight Runners.
That's another band.
Each guy had a different name. One on his chest said Dexy's, and the other one Midnight, and the other one Runners.
Right, and then the fourth one?
Come on, Eileen. Eileen. Said Eileen on him.
Caesar. I don't think that doesn't sound right, though.
No. Come on, Eileen.
Caesar, what was the answer?
Teenage woman?
It was PMRC.
All right. Hold on.
There you go.
Come on, Eileen.
All right, so everybody.
In my teenage mansion.
Right. Everybody is in the drawing now for the Coachella tickets.
You didn't get one of them right, Rodney. I thought you were our expert.
All right. I got them all right.
All right, and the answer, the winner is Caesar from Azusa. Congratulations.
The answer is Caesar.
You got a 3-day pass, all 3 days for Coachella.
Dude.
Oh,
wow. Thanks, you guys.
Thank Rodney.
Make sure you stick around for the Human League.
Okay.
They're playing day three.
That Rodney, man, he's a legend. It was an honor just to be in the same room with him. I just want to say, if he's being driven away from the radio station right now by somebody he thumbed a ride with, I just want to say thanks for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Very nice. And Psycho Mike says hi. All right. Let's talk about the number one movie over the weekend, Disturbia. I'm fascinated by these kind of stories because I love the idea that there are, you know, there are killers everywhere.
Yeah, in every city, next to somebody.
And they live next to somebody.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Disturbia, of course, is the story of a guy who has house arrest, and he starts watching a neighbor, and a girl comes over.
See that?
What?
Huh?
What?
What? What?
Red smears.
Red smears.
Blood?
Blood. You know that's happening right now.
This is why you do like I do, which is don't know any of your neighbors. Put up a big electric fence and a moat and hire some sharpshooters to protect the property line and just never see them, never know them, don't even recognize them on site. And that way, when they're taken down as for being serial killers, you can't be surprised because you didn't know them.
So I send out the idea, let's talk to people who have crazy slash, you know, killer neighbors.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why not? They got to be living next to somebody. And Psycho Mike, what was your response?
Dude, this lady who lived like three or four houses down from us, her kids went to high school with me. I was on my baseball team in high school. Her son was normal, very ostensibly a very normal housewife. She was a spy for the communist Chinese government.
What?
And they when they busted her, it looked like Waco in her front yard. Like hundreds of FBI agents and police and everybody came in and busted her.
Oh, my
her.
God.
What access
God.
Did she have?
For? What's that?
What access did she have?
I don't know. She was, like, full-on, like, espionage, or, like, hiding out, trying to pretend to blend in with society. And she was trying to, like, discover, I guess, secrets from the government or something. I don't know what her job was.
A Chinese communist spy. That rules.
Oh, my God.
From an outsider's point of view, she didn't even have a job. Like I said, she was just a housewife.
That's
but,
amazing.
I mean, they had it in the papers and everything, and they busted her, and she was like, everybody knew her. She seemed normal.
Wow. So she was reporting back on, like, doing dishes and stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apron on, the whole deal.
Now, we had the DEA, the black helicopters, that appeared in my neighborhood last year sometime, and it was a big pot bust. It was, it was a huge thing, like, you know, an acre or something like that, a pot that was busted.
Dude, and you didn't even know it was in the area?
Had no idea. But I'll tell you, I knew about it, and, you know, everybody knew about it when they started burning it. I mean, that was just, that was a pungent plume right there, my friend. But, I mean, it is weird, and they're playing Coachella night three. It is weird, though, when you look outside your house and you see the helicopters and the searchlights, and you got the guy with the, you know, with the speaker and the whole deal. I mean, that stuff
awesome.
Happens all the time, and you never, you know, then you find out after the fact what it was, but it's usually a surprise.
Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. If you, at any point in your life, live next to scary slash criminal neighbors of some kind. You found out that they were whatever, behind the scenes, chopping people up. Jeffrey Dahmer had neighbors, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know those people are out there, and I'm fascinated by these stories about, you know, the people in the neighborhood, and they start suspecting that somebody's, you know, doing something, and they go on the search like these guys did in this movie. Awesome.
Hey, I just read a newspaper article in the paper this weekend. This is Bean speaking, and I was reading in the Seattle Times. It was an interview with a guy whose girlfriend lived with a guy who walked in the University of Washington last week and killed his ex-girlfriend and then himself. And this is the guy who was writing the article had been over to their apartment last weekend, and they'd all made dinner and, you know, played games and watched TV and just had fun. Then he turns out, you know, the next day this guy goes in and murder-suicide pact. You just have no way of knowing. It's always going to be somebody that somebody knows.
You know Bean's got people in the basement.
Know
that's happening, and the black helicopters are going to come at some point.
That's why he had to move to a place where nobody could see him. His neighbors are not within.
And they're going to come to us and say, did you guys know anything about this? And we're going to say, yes, we've been shouting about it for years.
Kevin, I know what a rich imagination you have. Surely you've surveyed the neighborhood. You've looked around.
Oh, I know everybody around.
You've invented all sorts of stories about what the people in your neighborhood must be doing.
No question.
You got any
about
suspicions
that.
At all that there's anything hinky going on?
No, unfortunately, I live in an old neighborhood. I got an old person to my left, an old person to my right. But I have jumped the fence, and I've done some surveying. I'm keeping an eye on them, so if anything goes on, I will be right there.
That's funny.
Yep.
What are we looking for from the people? They don't have to have killed, of course, but they do have to have been, what?
Scary/criminal.
Yeah. Scary/criminal behavior. Okay.
Yeah, good. I think so, yeah.
All right. Why don't we start with Adriana, which is pretty much a cursed name if you're a Sopranos fan. But let's see what Adriana in San Clemente has to say. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Sean Kerouac. We're talking about Disturbia, America's number one movie, Creepy Neighbors. What happened to you?
Well, during the summer, I stayed with my grandparents in Arizona. And one summer, I went down, and they took me, like, literally five houses down the street. There was still caution tape around it. It turned out this guy had been arrested. He had three people in his freezer.
Three people in his freezer?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Did you say your grandparents took you down there?
Yeah, they're like, look, these cops came and there's still tape around the house. They're like, yeah, this guy, he had like bodies in his freezer. And I think one of them was his mom or something really crazy like that.
Boom, I love your grandparents, first of all, for saying, hey, come on down and look at this.
Hey, did they know the guy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, they're lucky, I guess.
Three bodies in the fridge. That's the kind of thing you don't really want to see.
That is scary.
I'm guessing. Ugh. All right. Thank you, Adriana, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls when we get back.
No, they don't get the dreaded double clap. Come on, you guys. That's just mean. Yes. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Talking about Disturbia, talking about Shia LaBeouf's character who realizes that something creepy is going on in the neighborhood. And it turns out, based on the calls that are on hold, happens all the time.
Yeah, criminal neighbors. Man, we got a lot of them on hold. Let's start with Rod in Fullerton. Good morning, Rod. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi, Rod.
Hello.
That's what she said. All right.
Yeah.
Tell us about your neighbors.
Yeah, I woke up one morning, and there's like 25 undercover cops there, and apparently he was a hitman for what I found out later. He's a hitman for a L.A. cop that was hiring these guys to murder people for insurance money.
Oh my God!
A hitman for an L.A. cop.
There's a book out. It's called Murder with a Badge. You might want to check it out. It's pretty cool. But the guy lived next door to me, and he was just a freak. You could tell there was something wrong with the guy, but couldn't pinpoint it. And
it was that whole killing people thing.
Yeah, it was the whole killing people thing. He'd give me there was a time of the Richard Ramirez thing. He gave me a gun because I didn't own one. He says, "Here, if you have to use this, throw it away because it's not traceable." And I thought he was full of crap. The guy, apparently, was real.
Dude, how about
that's no sign there.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving untraceable weapons.
You know, poor Tony Soprano can't even go down to the end of the driveway and pick up his newspaper without the freaking FBI being there. I mean, it's, you never want to look out and see the fuzz, you know, out in your front yard. You just don't. It's never good news.
Linda in Newport, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Criminal neighbors?
Okay, so this one time when I was in high school, the FBI did a stakeout from our bedrooms, one of my brother's bedrooms, because our neighbors were drug cartels.
And they were awesome.
A week later, when they finally got arrested, we found out that they were suspected of, like, three murders and running drugs out of their house.
So the FBI came to your house and said, can we use your bedroom?
Exactly.
Awesome.
They came to our house, and they showed up at, like, 8 or 10 o'clock at night and stayed for, like, 3 days.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Oh hey, did you guys know these neighbors?
We didn't. We really had no idea because we really didn't know any of our neighbors because we only lived there for a short period of time. But we were afraid to, like, live in that house while the FBI was there.
That's awesome.
Wow. Like, they'd find out and they'd come ask us or something.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
And they didn't share the drugs any of the time you were there.
Yeah, they should have shared.
That's bogus. All right, yeah,
that may not be the point, Kevin. Do you guys
remember that big shootout in Santa Clarita in Stevenson Ranch about 4 years ago where the house actually burned down with the guy in it? He had a shootout with the FBI.
No.
He wouldn't come out. It was filled with guns. My friend lived right next door to that house.
Cool.
And two of the family members were trapped in the house while the bullets were whizzing by, and they had several bullets that went right into their house. They were trapped upstairs in the bedroom.
How come everybody else gets that kind of fun? I would love that. All right, let's go to Bobby in Simi Valley. Good morning, Bobby.
Morning, Kevin B. Morning, Leif May.
Hi, Bobby.
Criminal neighbors?
Back in 2001, I was in my senior year at high school, and the police showed up at my neighbor's house, and it turned out he was the Simi Valley rapist.
Oh, no.
And he, over a period of 15 years, he raped over 40 people.
Wow.
Simi Valley, Moore Park, and parts of the valley.
Was he scary, weird, normal, what?
Seemed like a normal guy, came to a couple birthday parties, and just never would have expected it from him.
Oh, that's the creepiest.
Came to a couple of birthday parties.
Yes.
Dude. Brought nice gifts.
He ended up getting caught when his roommates went into his room to grab something, and they found a trash bag full of Polaroids.
Oh, wow. My God.
How about that?
That's scary.
That is very, very creepy. I mean, especially a guy like you, Bobby, who, you're not like some of these other callers who you just kind of seen him on the street. I mean, this guy was in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. That's wild. Thanks for the call, dude. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to Rick, who is calling from Lake Forest. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
Lisa?
Hi, Rick.
Criminal neighbors. What do you got?
I was coming home from school one day when I was in junior high, and I see one of the big SWAT RVs outside.
SWAT, okay.
And there was, of course, it was all taped off, and there was a bunch of cops around. And come to find out, 2 days later, the guy barricaded himself in his house, killed his wife, I mean, and just went on a rampage.
Dude, did you know him?
I mean, I seen him around a couple times. He was, you know, about 45, 50 years old, always out there wandering his lawn, but guy had like a little minor thing of Tourette's, but he was always out there just cussing and just like on a rampage. We thought he was just some crazy old guy. Well, I guess we were right.
Turns out you were right.
See, now Kevin is jealous. He's always wanted Tourette's neighbors.
Dude. Yeah. That's my favorite thing.
That's wild. I mean, your neighbor ends up killing his wife. It's just, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with you, but it has to creep you out for as long as you live in that house. That's not the type of thing you just forget about, right?
Yeah, that's not small. Mm-mm. Sydney in West Covina, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sydney.
Tell us about your neighbors.
So, like, it was either 95 or 96, and I was living in an apartment building on the other side of a block from the Viper Militia. And how we found out that they were the Viper Militia, I don't know if you guys remember this.
What is the Viper?
Who's the Viper Militia?
They were in league with the folks that blew up the Oklahoma building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And how we found out they were who they were was because apparently some time ago, they had stolen and broken into a bunker, a secret bunker done by the FBI that had all this artillery and, like, bombs and grenades and crap like that, and they stole everything in it, and it was this huge news when I lived in Arizona because all of this happened there.
Right.
And they had it all held up in this house, and it all blew up, and that's how everybody found out who they were.
So you didn't have any idea till the explosion?
Didn't have a clue. This is the worst part, okay? I don't know if it's dumb luck or I don't know, just me. But we moved from that apartment. I moved into a house, and like 4 days after I moved in, I'm still unpacking boxes. The woman across the street from me tries to set herself and her 4 kids on fire.
Oh, no, it is you, Sydney.
No one wants to live next to you.
This is what I'm saying. I'm like, I need to go live on a compound somewhere.
You are a crappy neighbor.
Seriously.
Man.
I don't want to live with me.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Sydney. That's scary.
Yeah.
Thanks, Branch Davidian. We appreciate the call. Jeez.
I'll tell you what else is scary, that we don't have time to get to all of these calls. Everybody has this.
That's
neighbor
amazing.
Killed wife and children. Neighbor shot her husband, then tried to take her own life. Wife chopped up husband and put pieces of them all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk to him. We got to talk to Fallon in Huntington Beach.
Hi.
Wife chopped up husband.
Yes, it's going to sound really crazy. It's not even going to sound real, but this really happened. I was in junior high, and a school right around the block from where our school was. This house, it was a married couple. They were kind of older, and the wife was just psycho crazy, and she ended up cutting up her husband in all these little pieces and putting them all over the city, and the cops and the police department found them. And they traced it back to her, and she ended up feeling so bad for it, or whatever it was, that she tied herself to a chair in the middle of the house and then lit the house on fire and burned her and her whole house down.
Oh my God.
Good boarded.
Dude.
It was crazy.
Wow. I have such a boring neighborhood.
Before you guys cut me off, I wanted to say I love you guys because I listen to you guys every morning.
Oh, thank you, Fallon. Thank you.
No problem.
I'm glad that she quit with the husband and herself.
Well, they're both dead now, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Fallon. All right, one more. We have time for one more. Let's go to Jan, who's calling from La Habra. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
Now, this sounds like a cartoon. This can't be true.
It is true. You can look it up. It happened.
Who was your neighbor?
I'm trying to think about how many kids I had at the time to determine what year it was. But anyways, the man was a recluse. He lived in a back house of our neighbor on the same street. Didn't see him that much. And apparently, our street goes between two schools, a middle school and a high school, so lots of kids walking by all the time.
Right.
And he nabbed a 12-year-old boy, hacked him up with a machete, and then tried to bury his pieces into concrete blocks, which that part I never got. And apparently, somebody spotted oozing bloody blocks.
Come on.
And
that's too hard to
believe. It was a body of some sort. And yeah, and the creepiest part about it, besides that a child was killed, is that this guy only had one arm.
He was an Egyptian guy who had one arm.
Yep, the one-armed Egyptian. And, yeah, he had to, of course, be secluded in OC jail. And, yeah, the one-armed Egyptian.
So let me see if I got this straight. Hacked a kid to pieces, but the creepy part is that he only had one arm.
Yeah, so he used a machete.
Dude.
Yeah, so now, you know, we're kind of like, should we move? What do we do?
Do you still live there? Do you still live in the same house?
I live in the same house on the same street, yeah.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Wow. But you would not recommend anyone else move in next door to a one-armed Egyptian guy, just as a matter of principle.
No.
Right?
Okay. No.
That's good advice.
You hate to have Egyptians, but you never know. They got one arm, it's a different deal.
Sure. One-armed people are all crazy, right?
Well, you saw The Fugitive. Come on now.
I did. All right. Thank you, Jen. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Once we're on the air longer, guys, I think then we'll get some of the kinks out. We'll be a little more well-oiled. That's all I'm saying. It's still a new program.
What was that even for?
I just dropped Mike. Punched him.
Why'd you hit him in the nuts?
I can't take him. I hate him now. I officially hate him.
Wow. It's somebody needs a vacation. It's 8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with Kevin Federlisi dating Lindsay Lohan? We'll find out next half hour. Oh, no, I guess we won't find out next half hour at all, will we?
Nope.
Already found that out. What's up with Lisa Mae's dog trying to commit suicide? We'll find out next half hour. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Wow.
We are good.
Wow.
Nope, there's no denying it.
The legend of Hawaiian music has passed.
Tiny bubble.
Don Ho, who, believe it or not, once appeared at the Weenie Roast.
He sure did.
Yeah, I remember.
Passed away at the age of 76 years old this weekend. Had a bum ticker for some time and finally passed away. The Honolulu Advisor newspaper says he suffered a heart attack Saturday. He was 76 years old and he had a pacemaker installed. He had several operations, but the heart just gave out. Family and Fred said the thing they'll remember most about Don is his cheerful disposition. His wife wanted to say he was one happy-headed hoe.
I'm sorry I said that.
See, because the last name is Ho.
See?
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Right.
I did a bad thing.
No, you did. Don't do it again.
You won't. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Disturbia. $23 million made it number one in its debut weekend.
You've seen this movie. One, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
It's good.
Seen it, loved it, would go again.
It's a one-armed Egyptian that chops up a little boy?
No, that was Elizabeth.
Blades of Glory was number two at the box office. $14 million. It was good enough to keep it in the top two. Meet the Robinsons was third. Then Perfect Stranger, the new Bruce Willis Halle Berry movie, was fourth in its debut. Only made $11.5 million. Are We Done Yet was five. Pathfinder, six. Wild Hogs, seven. The Reaping at number eight. 300 still in the top ten at number nine. And then Grindhouse was number 10 at the box office this weekend, according to Variety newspaper. Speaking of movies, I had a chance to see this weekend the TV set.
I was talking about
David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jake Kasdan, son of Lawrence Kasdan, was the writer-director on this. Boy, is that a funny movie.
When does it come out?
It's out now.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. It's in selected theaters, though. It's a small independent film, so it's kind of hard to find. I saw it at the Lemley 5 on Sunset there in that mall area. But I know it's in some other theaters around the Southland. If you get a chance and you've seen everything else, try to hunt this down because it's really worth it. I'm sure it'll be on DVD shortly. But if you can see it in a movie theater, I really recommend it. Very funny. Ultimately, very depressing at the end because it's about a fictional TV network and this writer who has this original idea for a show he's trying to get on television. And they just keep beating him down and nitpicking at his script and destroying it until what finally ends up on the air is nothing like he hoped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crap. And he's just destroyed. He's just so depressed by the time it's all over. He's got a show on the air, and he's just miserable because it's not at all what he wanted to do.
Sounds funny.
When you look at the state of network television these days and how many shows they put up that fail, you think that at some point they're going to say, all right, let's try crazy stuff that's not like the other stuff that's on the air and give that a whirl for a while.
Nope. Sigourney Weaver plays the female executive at the network, and David Duchovny's fighting for his story's life, basically. And he goes, no, this is the part of it that makes it original. This is what makes it different. That's what she goes, original scares me. So that's why you don't see a lot of that on television. It's funny because it's true.
Yep.
Speaking of scary, Britney Spears, she's nuts. She went out for dinner on Friday with her cousin to a sushi restaurant. And when she came out, she called over one of the paparazzi who had a video camera and went into a minute and a half monologue about the state of her fans and tabloids and her management. but did it all in a weird fake Valley Girl accent.
She's doing a one-woman play now?
Apparently she is. Yeah, she's doing a one-woman show. She said things like, and like, I saw these magazines and they said I was like pregnant. And it's like so true. Like, America, believe everything you read because you're smart and I'm stupid. Like, for real.
Oh, my God.
Wow, you sure schooled us. Ouch. Oh, with that razor-sharp wit, Brittany, you have sure put us in our place. You drunken, bald maniac.
Where's that tape going to surface? If she set it into a video camera, someone's got it.
I'm dying to find it. TMZ.com did the story, so I'm sure someone will post it soon, and we'll get to see her in all... her craziness.
I'd like a copy of that if it's out there.
Yeah. Send us a link if you know where we can find that. This is just too much. Hillary Clinton was on a radio program taking phone calls about the state of America, about the upcoming presidential elections, about the Democrats in Congress, about the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Some idiot calls in and says, what would she do about the American Idol contest with Sanjaya still being on? If she was president, how would she fix that?
Uh-huh. That's my person right there.
Hillary said Americans are free to vote for whomever they want, so there's really not much she could do about it.
Okay.
I'm glad finally
good.
The candidates are starting to weigh in on the important issues.
Because how do we know who to vote for unless we know what their stance is on Sanjaya?
That's Sanjaya, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if there's one thing you know about Hillary Clinton from watching her on the TV is you can't ask her any question that's outside of her prepared answers that she already has. She does not ad-lib.
No. But really, I don't think she... And her advisors are spending a lot of time on the American Idol situation.
If she had an answer, I would
briefing.
Be upset.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be briefing her on that, quite frankly.
Do you think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
Thank you, Democrat.
Uh-huh.
So? this is great. You know, everyone now has a blog. Everyone has an outlet on the internet to write everything about their lives. And there was a fan of Beyoncé who went to get an autograph, but Beyoncé's mother intervened, and so this fan slapped Beyoncé's mom in the mouth.
Oh, no!
Dude! And then went online to brag about it.
Oh, no.
MediaTakeout.com has the transcript of the blog. Let me read a little piece of it for you. I was trying to get an autograph, and Beyoncé was going to give it to me. Then that bitch Tina opened up her big trap. Tina Knowles is her mom. So I reached out, and I slapped her in the mouth. After I slapped Tina, Beyoncé tried to grab my hand, but I was too quick for her. I just did what I had to do and kept moving. She didn't really have to do that.
That's a fan?
I used to like Beyoncé and her family, but not anymore. They're real shady anyway. And that Tina's face looked like it deserved a good slap.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the end of the world, people.
It is.
Get in the ark. That's what I say. Get on the ark. Because a big flood's a-coming.
Do you know of someone that's building an ark?
Yeah, Steve Carell, actually. Okay. And Evan Almighty coming up this summer, I think it is. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ellen Barkin. She, of course, will be starring in the upcoming Ocean's 13. She's 53 years old today. David Perner from Soul Asylum turns 43. Martin Lawrence, comedian and actor, star of Wild Hogs, 42 years old today. You know, they're just going to give more movies now. You know
how that works.
Oh, yeah.
Probably Wild Hogs, too.
How dare you, Lisa? What's wrong with you?
Even wilder.
Made my
wilder hogs.
Even huggier.
I hope that's it.
Yeah, I hope that is it, too. Forget wilder hogs. I hope it's even huggier. John Cryer from 2 1/2 Men is 42 years old today. Peter Billingsley, who played Little Ralphie in The Christmas Story, one of my favorite Christmas movies. He's 36. Lucas Haas, the actor, is 31 years old today. And our own Kat Corbett, little kitty cat, she celebrates her 22nd birthday today.
How about that?
Because she's coming in later, so I wanted to be nice.
And she doesn't even look 22. As far as I'm concerned, I thought she was like 18.
I'm stunned. But I know she has a cocktail legally, so she's got to be over 21.
Looks 14 to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she looks like a zygote. She looks like a fetus to me.
Right.
Yes. She looks like an ovum. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
A few minutes ago on the Showbiz Beat, Ralph was telling us about a video of Britney Spears that was shot by a paparazzo while Britney was coming out of a restaurant over the weekend. And is she trying to do comedy? Because we do have the tape now. What is she? What's the angle here, do you think, from Britney?
I get the sense she's doing some cultural satire.
It's comedy that teaches, Bean.
Exactly. She's using an ironic tone to her comedy to try to point out how hypocritical we all are.
So she's just like Borat, in other words.
Exactly. Just like that.
So it's Friday night. She's coming out of a sushi restaurant.
Right.
Cousin. With
and
her cousin.
She gets surrounded by the paparazzi, which is,
normal.
Normal. And she bellies up to one of these video cameras and launches into this tirade about what the tabloids are printing about her and what her fans are saying and also about her sobriety and her management, and she's doing it in a character. She's doing a little character. She has a hilarious Valley Girl character.
She knew
I don't know
that?
If you've ever seen her stand-up act, but she does this Valley Girl character. Oh, it just kills you, and here's a little taste of it.
So the first part is her talking to her fans and how she appreciates them, and then she goes into the whole thing about the paparazzi.
Do you have something to say to X17 and the Yard fans?
Yes. First, I want to say hey to all my fans, and I can't wait for all of our stuff to come out. I'm really, really excited. And also, I just want to say that I'm just really, really shocked at like how nice our world is, because it's just so nice. Like, oh my God. Like, the other day, like, I was sitting there and I saw these magazines and they said I was pregnant. And like, it's so true. Like, America, believe everything you read.
Wait a minute, she's saying believe everything you read, but she doesn't mean it, does
no.
she?
No, can you sense it in her voice?
See?
She's the opposite of
wow.
it. America is so nice, she's saying, it means that they really aren't very nice to her.
Wow. And by the way, you can see this video at x17online.com, and as you watch it, she does not look drunk or high or stoned or anything. I mean, she seems completely serious and has all of, whatever faculties she's got are in effect here.
Well, she couldn't be drunk and be this razor sharp with her comedy, Bean. She couldn't be this cutting and this is sort of, with so many levels functioning at one time here with what she's saying if she was inebriated in any way.
Because, you're smart and I'm stupid. Like, for real. Come on, y'all. And then after that, I totally saw also, on the USA Today, because always believe everything you read, that it said that, I was drinking all the time. And, it was so right. It was so true. I mean, oh my God. It was so right. And, my management totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab. So right, And it just, I'm just going to cry right now because, the world is so nice. This lady, she told me, she said, Brittany, go to the light. Go to the light and see Jesus, okay? And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it happened. And it's just so weird because our world is so nice. So thank you so much.
You're so nice always, Brittany. Thank you for everything.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Take a picture from you.
Wow.
Dude.
See?
It's because that's America fantastic. Is not nice. That's why she shaved
Wait a
her
minute.
Head
She's...
and beat an SUV with an umbrella and had to check into rehab. It's our fault.
She said the world was nice.
No, she meant the opposite, Kevin. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Wow.
I'm going to punch her right in the face.
We all could learn a little something from Britney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I win Coachella tickets? Did I win Coachella tickets? That's the right answer. Did I win Coachella tickets?
No.
this is where you jump in and explain how that works.
We
announced it this morning.
We're doing that today, starting with Kat. As soon as you hear three songs in a row by the Red Hot Chili Peppers or three songs in a row by Rage Against the Machine, be caller 20 and you win 3-day passes to Coachella. So
when I hear a song, just call?
Three songs.
Oh. So when I hear two songs, just call?
Three by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Three
by Rage.
I see.
Then you're caller 20. Then you get a 3-day pass. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's the phone number. You call, you get on the air, and you get a prize.
You know how Mondays, it's a crapshoot. Sometimes it's a phenomenal prize. Sometimes not so good. Today happens to be one of those phenomenal prizes. So the people that are calling in are very lucky. We've got a pair of Park Hopper tickets to Disneyland, including an exclusive K-Rock event that we're doing on the morning of June 30th. You can join K-Rock for 1 hour prior to the park opening on the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction and the soon-to-open all-new Pirates Lair. That's their brand-new ride that they're opening after the premiere of the new Pirates movie this summer.
Right.
So you get to see it before the public does. It's a Pirates life for you during the Year of a Million Dreams at the Disneyland Resort. So all that just for being on the air with us this morning.
All right, let's begin with Georgie Boy from Commerce.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What's good happening,
week, Georgie?
Georgie Boy?
How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, pretty good, my friend. What does Chicago have that we don't have, my friend?
The Olympics.
A chance to host the Olympics.
You mean why did Chicago win the, what is it? When is it?
2016 Summer Olympics.
2016 Olympics.
Well, they didn't get it yet, but they're going to be America's representative to be put into the hat, so to speak.
Well, I believe they won't get it, but we had an edge.
What's our edge?
What was the edge?
We have everything here.
We have everything here.
People.
Yeah, well.
The stadium's already built.
We got too many goddamn people here.
True.
That's true. I'm glad we didn't get it.
It would have
been a nightmare. Would have been
Georgie, there's no question that Olympics could have hosted that Olympics. Chicago has never done it before, and they have an awful lot more work to do before they're able, you know, before they'd be able to. They got to build new arenas and all. But they did make such a great financial contribution. I mean, didn't the city, Ralph, say that they'll, you know, they're guaranteeing it'll make money, basically?
Pretty much.
You know, yeah. They're putting up like $500 million or something against, you know, whatever the costs are to make sure that they can't lose if they pick Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're still one of like seven or eight cities, so it could still end up being in Prague or any number of other places. I think there's a city in India that's in the running, so we may not even get our country may not even get it.
The answer to your question, Georgie Boy, is that Chicago is a Georgie Boy free zone.
That's right.
So they get it, and we don't. Thanks for the call.
George, no one's ever been happier than Georgie Boy.
Not him.
I'd be willing to bet, and maybe I wish we'd had time to talk about this today, but I'd be willing to bet that, I don't want to say most, but a lot of Los Angelinos were probably pretty relieved to hear that they kind of dodged a bullet on hosting another Olympics.
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I was sweating it.
Evan.
You know me, I spin out when the marathon is held.
Yes, you do.
What was going to happen when the Olympics came to town? I'd have to move.
Evan in Redondo Beach, good morning.
Good morning. What did it do, nephew?
What did it do?
So I saw Pathfinder over the weekend.
You're the one.
Why?
You went. This is
the Viking.
The Viking movie.
Viking movie.
Yes.
The lone Viking that gets raised by Native Americans.
A movie about Indian on Viking violence, and it was screwed up so badly. It was the worst movie I've seen in years.
But wait, let's back up to you went. How did that happen?
I mean, it wasn't true to the Viking Indian conflict as you know it.
I can't help it. I'm a sucker for action films, and I thought Viking and Indian violence, it had to be good. The previews made it look like there would actually be, you know, fighting in the movie.
Right.
Instead of people wandering through a forest aimlessly.
But it was no fighting?
There was gruesome, horrid murdering of innocents at certain points through the movie. A brief fight somewhere in the middle for a few seconds.
It sounds like you made a good choice.
Oh, yeah, it was excellent. It ended with their big climactic battle, had Discovery Channel footage interspersed into the footage.
You mean real footage?
Like, yeah, there was a Discovery Channel special I saw on avalanches a few weeks ago, and footage from those avalanches were put into the movie.
Well, you got to save a buck when you're making Pathfinder. Although, if I'm going to see a movie called Pathfinder, I'm thinking I'm going to see a lot of guy looking through the woods for a path.
Yeah, that does make sense.
It's in the title right there.
I can see that.
As bad as it sounds, at least he didn't go to the Bruce Willis Halle Berry movie. At least he didn't stoop that low.
Let's go to Robert in Long Beach. Good morning, Robert.
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
So I just wanted to say I have a little problem with HBO with this Real Sex series that they've got going on. Every time I look on there, they're talking about something, whether it's swinging or... you know, different sex classes, but all the people on there, it's like a minimum weight of 250.
Maybe that's where I get my idea from, because the swingers, when you see it on TV, they always seem to be old, fat, and ugly.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
They give it a bad name. I mean, if they're trying to attract people to it, I think they're picking the wrong folks for that.
Well, the problem is, and I used to work on a TV show on the Playboy channel called Sex Setter, which was very much like Real Sex. We used to do documentary pieces about these things. When you go to cover these stories, the only people that will sit down and talk to your cameras...
Are the hideous ones.
Because the ones who are attractive and young and have lives and careers and families to worry about, they're not going to expose themselves by going on national television saying, I am fill in the blank, whatever your sexual...
That makes sense.
That's true, but these other people shouldn't really be exposing themselves at all.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to do the story, someone's got to speak for these people. And it's the people who spend their entire lives dedicated to running some swing club or something, and they tend not to be the pick of the litter.
Yeah.
Now, if it makes Robert feel any better, the K-Rock listener that just got back from Desire Cancun that we hooked up with one of our other listeners, Lola, they said a lot of young people down there, a lot of young, very attractive people that were in the swinging lifestyle. But as Ralph said, you don't see them on TV. You kind of got to go see them in real life.
So hang in there, Robert. Hang in there.
We should do a K-Rock swingers party sometime. Like we do our singles parties, where we invite couples to get together and mingle and swap off with each other and have just a wild sex time. Okay. Done.
If we have to.
Whatever happened to our lesbian party we said we were going to do years ago, by the way? There's got to be lesbian singles.
Another one we should do.
Why didn't that ever happen?
Because we're bad. Robert and Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning.
What it do, nephews?
Well, what it do, nephew?
And Dave the King of Mexico? Blue and red is purple. That's what I got.
Yeah, not orange. Okay.
Orange?
What are you calling about?
Well, PetSmart has done it again. They have this pet thing where if you're going out of town, you can leave your pet with them. And for, like, a certain amount of money, you can have a conversation with your dog over the phone. here's the best part. I'm not sure how much it is, but they can also, for a certain amount of money, take your dog in a room and watch a dog movie with your dog. Like Balto or like Lassie.
See the smile on Lisa's face.
My dog watches TV. And when dogs are on TV, she goes nuts.
Why are you still talking? It doesn't happen.
It does.
The dog doesn't know it's watching television.
She does.
Your dog is barely alive.
No, the other dog.
It's got
the one that's really alive.
It's got spina bifida and it's got ass leakage and Crohn's disease. It's just
Some dogs watch TV.
Oh, no, Lisa.
It thinks it's going towards the light. It sees light and it thinks it's going to heaven. It doesn't watch TV.
She sees animals on TV.
Just movement and light. It catches the animals' attention. It's not watching television.
No. And then tell me how she knows when a chipmunk is on TV versus a person.
And that's when
she jumps up and barks. She does.
But she doesn't know it's a chipmunk.
She knows it's an animal. She'll bark at a cartoon with big ears that looks like some sort of animal.
You've got to stop talking.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
That's not that unusual.
Danny? It's been a while since Lisa's been in the basement. I'm just saying. I've got my finger on the door if you guys want
me to. Listen, I'm in.
I'll be happy
to.
Ralph, what do you think?
Do we have a kennel we can put her in instead of the basement?
Why am I the only one that ever goes in the basement? That's not fair.
Well, you're the only one who says dumb things. That's why.
Well, that's not true. We know that's not true.
How is it down there? It's been pretty much empty since 2007 began.
Well, I stocked it up a while back, just in case, so it's nice.
Okay, excellent. Danny in West Covina, good morning.
Walls are getting thinner in that basement. I can hear it pretty good.
Let's try it again. Lisa?
We need to put some more drywall down there or something.
Some soundproofing.
Lisa, can you hear us?
Spackle some of those holes up.
Oh!
What?
Danny in West Covina, good morning.
Morning. West Hello?
Good delivery.
Wait, why are you saying Danny? It's Andy.
Well, because they heard Danny. How am I supposed to know?
It's as close as we can get.
I never thought I'd miss the King of Mexico, but he's on vacation.
Good, Mark. Hello?
That's where I get it from.
All right, Andy, what's going on?
Not much. What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
Got to get right to your point now. We've used up a lot of your time.
I went to a nude beach down in San Clemente over the weekend on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I ended up walking away with second-degree sunburns in between my thighs.
Why wouldn't you use suntan lotion?
Between your thighs. Were you spread eagle on the beach?
No, not quite, but I guess my girlfriend didn't quite get all over the place.
I guess not. Okay, well, congratulations.
Yeah.
I guess that's fairly common to people who don't usually frequent nude beaches because you got areas there that are just not protected, not used to the sun.
Yeah.
What if you can get a penis burn? Do you get a penis sunburn?
You can't.
Sure.
What? No. Why not? Mike says you can't.
Why wouldn't it burn? It just doesn't
happen. What do you mean it doesn't happen? Why wouldn't it burn?
Because I've tanned nude or gone to tanning clubs a lot. It just doesn't burn. Guys are always worried about it, putting socks on their dong and stuff. It just doesn't happen. It's like a different type of skin. It's like the bottom of your foot. It just doesn't burn. I'm telling you, dude.
Who's buying this?
I do. I don't know the answer. He could very well be right. I have no idea.
Answer me this.
I don't know the answer.
Who goes to a tanning salon and covers their balls? Nobody. Because for a reason. It just doesn't. It's not that type of skin.
I don't suntan in the nude.
I don't either.
A lot. So I wouldn't know a lot about that.
Hey, we're going to have that discussion.
Lisa, you still with us down there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anybody want to talk to Dwan?
Yes. Always.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train, Soul Train.
A little behind. All right. Dwan, good morning.
What's up, Kevin and Bean and Lisa?
Come on, you got your own intro, man.
I saw this movie, Disturbia. It was outrageous.
Disturbia was outrageous?
Yes, it's about this kid plays house arrest about 3 months for hitting his teacher in the face.
Right.
What's he do while he's under house arrest?
Because he violation.
What?
Because he hit his teacher.
Right. What's he do while he's under house arrest? When he's in his house, what's he do?
Watching TV, but the mother cut the TV off, his iPod tunes off, his Xbox 360 off.
What does he do?
So eventually he...
He's just looking at the window with his binoculars, spying on people,
right?
And spying on the serial killer.
Ah.
Oh, serial killer.
His neighbor's a serial killer.
Was it very scary, Duane?
A little bit. It was suspense.
Suspenseful.
Suspense, right.
Okay.
Did you take a date? Did you go with a young lady?
Yes. And he hanging out with his friend at his house.
Right, Kale hangs out with his friends at his house as well as a young lady.
Was watching pornos at their house.
The little kids were,
the ones
yeah.
who make fun of him putting that stuff in his porch.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But I was asking if you went to the movie with a girl. Did you take a date to the film?
No, I went by myself.
By yourself. You know, Duane, he also checks out his next door neighbor, that girl who swims all the time in the pool. He looks at her quite a bit.
Yes.
What'd you think of her?
She looks pretty good in that bikini, doesn't she?
Yep, cool. Yes, she does.
Yeah,
okay.
Were you turned on?
Yep.
She's got a heck of a pooper on her, doesn't she?
Yep.
All right, Duane. Well, we're
that main character.
What's that?
What's the actor name?
Shia LaBeouf.
I think he went to my high school after I left.
Really?
Oh, no kidding.
Hamilton.
How about that?
High school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're glad that you enjoyed the movie, Duane.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
We always appreciate hearing from you, man. Have a great day.
You too, dude.
Bye now.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It's Duane from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train. Soul Train. Da 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 da.
Nah, we're going to have to cut you off there.
Yeah. What happened? What happened with the music? He was keeping up.
No, he wasn't really. But
all right. Well, that was that
sometimes
was fantastic.
A little slow. He gets a little behind the music sometimes.
A little behind is a little, yeah.
I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. But tomorrow, look out because we're jam-packed.
Dude, we're loaded with guests. We got the King of Mexico.
Nope.
We're talking.
No, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation. Yeah. We're gonna try and get a hold of him on his cruise ship though, because
do we need him that bad? We have to call him up on vacation.
The Clippers are tomorrow night most likely gonna get knocked out of the playoffs. So we might need to talk to him. Yeah.
Wow.
He's been mouthing off all season.
Yeah, he's been mouthing off since the preseason, and now coincidentally, the week that they're gonna miss the playoffs, he's gone. How about that?
But they got Malcolm in the middle, right?
They got him. Yeah. That's true.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Right? Also, tomorrow we have Psycho Body on the program. You can call in and ask your...
I'll teach you how to get buff.
Physical fitness
question.
Teach
how to eat properly and work out.
Worst party disasters at home. Story about a kid who... somebody put up the invitation on MySpace and hundreds of people showed up.
Burned the place
on the ground. Coachella 3-day passes coming up. And tomorrow, the German butt psychic.
Really? All right.
Now are they opening up a Coachella?
Yes, they
German
are.
Butt psychic?
Listen, the birthday girl, Kat Corbett, is coming up next, and I know... Oh, my God. Should somebody let Lisa out of the basement? Are we going to leave her in there all night?
Oh, God, yeah.
Lisa, I'm sorry. We forgot about you, baby.
No, I'm going to stay down here. Okay. I'm watching some porn.
Okay.
Okay? Right. I'll see you later.
So put you back in. Okay, well, see you tomorrow down there. Don't eat any of the
tainted dog food down there where we're storing it.
Kat Corbett is coming up next. It is her birthday, and I know that generally we ask you to send your penis photos to our own Lisa May, but don't you think it would be fair in honor of Kat's birthday to send Kat's birthday, right?
Absolutely.
So Kat at KRock.com for penis photos. I think she'd enjoy it.
Absolutely.
She's got 311 on the way. Also, some Incubus, Blink-182, Damian Jr. Gong Marley, Metallica, the new one from Tiger Army, Foo Fighters, so much more. It's all straight ahead right after this on the world-famous KRock.